get milk once again.
The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Yeah.
afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and gets you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Introducing Mr. Perfume and More, the area's most recent discount outlet for perfumes and colognes, and the most beautiful handbags and accessories. Mr. Perfume is located in the Mill Creek Plaza at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. Come in and let Mr. Perfume find the fragrance that will fit you or your significant other to a T. Mr. Perfume is the area's foremost authority on perfumes and colognes. And once you have experienced Mr. Perfume, you'll be a customer for life. Take advantage of the weekly specials at Mr. Perfume and More on selected fragrances and fashion handbags and accessories. Mention you heard this on Tracy and Friends and receive an extra 10% off of your purchase. Not only that, if your birthday is on a Friday in November, be the first customer through the door on your birthday and you'll receive a free perfume or cologne valued at $45 or more. Open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. Call 330-629-2816.
And we're back afternoon with Tracy and Friends, the start of the day today. 7 minutes after the hour, 12 o'clock, Jeff in the air chair. How you doing out there? Very glad to see you guys hanging out. I've been out of the nose loop this morning, and I don't know what is going on, to tell you the truth, because I've had some emergencies that I've had to deal with, and it's been a little hectic of a morning. So we're going to just start this out with whatever you want to talk about. You can give me a call here at 1-347-945-5229. Also at local here at 330-781-9600. I wanted to bring up something here on a local level in the Youngstown, Ohio area. What's going on here is there's a monumental battle, and the battle is this. There was a judgeship some 10, 12 years ago, when we had a Republican governor that was filled in the Youngstown, Ohio area. It was a municipal judge's spot, so it meant it was inner city. And you know what? What's going on is the Republican Party at that time, 12 years ago, well, 15 years ago, I can't remember exactly, they came and appointed a judge, an African-American judge, into that position. Many of us that are in this area that are black Republicans wanted the judge to get that judgeship, and we pushed for it. And as a result, you know, he got in. Well, he held on to this judgeship till he just retired, Judge Robert Douglas, with honors here in the Youngstown, Ohio area. Now, mind you, he's an African-American. The Youngstown, Ohio area demographics is probably 60-40, 70-30 Democrat. Okay, now, as you know, and especially in this area, Democrats make up per capita, we're the most Democrat county in the country. This is per capita. In the country. Now, they vote Democrat all the time. The city of Youngstown is probably about 52% African American. They vote Democrat all the time. Okay, now this judgeship comes up. Now, and all of a sudden, the Democrat Party, in deference to their African American constituency, is not getting, does not want the judgeship to take place. Now, once again, there's a very good chance that an African American female will get that position if it's filled by the governor. Well, the Democrat Party chair and two miscellaneous state representatives from the area approached the Supreme Court judge and asked one of the Supreme Court judges if they would go to the governor and beg time for them to put legislation in to eliminate that judgeship. Now, I don't know why they want to eliminate the judgeship right now. They say it's going to save money. Well, they have all these specialty courts that they've put in place now, and these people want to cut those specialty courts, saying that they're too expensive, they're too this and too that. Now, there's only a year left. Now, at the time it started, there was a year and a half left. There's only a year left on the platform for the judge to be in place. Why wouldn't they let the new appointee get put in that position for the 1 year until the end of the term, till the term goes out, and then let it go by attrition? Now, this fits up my alley because of this. We get hit as Republicans that all white Republicans are racist. And if you're a black man in the Republican Party, you're somehow this Uncle Tom, this Sambo, you don't think for yourself, and this, that, and the other. This bothers me to no end, because I know better, one. Number two, I see who the Sambos and the other ones are, because they're not able to, when they have all of the black vote in their party, they're not able to affect the opinion of their own party chair and two of their party officials to deal with their wishes, which I've told them over and over again that they care nothing about them. They just use them for their votes every election time. This should nail this right up against the wall. Now, I heard somebody talking about this, and that talking about it as though this evil Republican governor that gave you SB5 and gave you this now has this in his hands. Well, let me tell you once again, the person that wanted to make that charge, it was a Republican governor that appointed this black man that did a wonderful job as judge in this area. It was a Republican. It was not a Democrat. Number two, one of the top picks is another African-American woman who I think is excellent choice for the position, personally, myself. And I think that she would serve well as a judge in the city of Youngstown or the county of Mahoning. She's done her homework. She knows her business. She's very professional. And she does what she does. it bothers me to hear the rhetoric coming out of the people that can't get their own party now. They can't get their own people to change their minds after they give them their vote every single election day, and they get nothing in return every single election day. But they're going to blame it on the Republicans and call them evil and prejudice and this, that, and the other all over again, reoffending. This is foolishness. And it's got to stop. All this name calling has got to stop. Because the people that are representing us aren't. And if you don't wake up, you're going to be totally, totally without, how should I say, recourse to do anything. Why? Because all the other minority populations are starting to outpace you because of, first of all, you killing yourself through abortion. You're killing yourselves out in the middle of the streets with the drug trade. And then you want to fight because you want to belong to the party that created the Ku Klux Klan and the Black Codes in America. And you want me to go along with you because you do. I'm not a liberal at all. I'm not a far-right conservative either. I'm more of a moderate type of person because, you know what? I understand life. I understand life. The thing that's going on here is ridiculous. In my opinion, it should have been filled already, regardless of who they filled it with. So that the court goes unabated. They're going to do another thing, too. There's a black clerk of court that has done an excellent job as well in running the clerk of court's office. She has done a remarkable job. But if that judgeship goes, her position and all those black faces that work in that office as well as the white faces will go away. I want you to know this, those of us here locally in Youngstown. That's who I'm making this out. But for you people that are out away from here, I'd like you to comment, if you could, what you think. Do African-American people in your area are they getting a fair shake from the Democrat Party? And lethal migraine, it does matter who started something because you know what? Wherever the origin of a thing is this nexus. That's what it originated as. And no, the KKK is not Republican. That's what you want to believe because you want to make Republicans who are the only people that are trying to say constraint in America. We have to constrain spending. The spending is out of control. Even the liberal people are trying to get away from this president's edicts of raising taxes on the rich. Google is the latest one. Putting $12 billion into a company in, in Bermuda, was it? Lethal, I'll take that from you. I'm going to just tell you, Lethal, Democrats in Ohio, white Democrats, do not vote for black people here. no black white Democrat statewide official, and we've had three elections won by a black Republican. So I don't want to hear that mess once again about who's playing, being racist and who's not being. Give me a call, 330-781-9600, or on my unlimited internet line, 1-347-945-5229. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll come back and talk about some of this again. Lethal, you need to call in so that we can discuss this over the air. I can talk back to you. I can't type and talk on the radio at the same time. Back in a minute.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolution. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com or hit us on Facebook. Or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner-city organization of believers, present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time. And that's what we do at HeartReach. And we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
What about free shoes for life? If you had a chance to win free shoes for life, would you want it? And if you had a chance to win a $500 gift card each and every month, would you want it? Well, here it is. This year, every time you visit Ryer Shoe Store, you can register for your chance to win free shoes for life. And every month, we're giving away a $500 gift card, too. So zip on over to Ryer's and register for your chance to win. And know this. If your feet are hard to fit, Ryers is your shoe store. We have sizes and a great sales staff who know how to fit you right. Ryers offers superior service, a fabulous collection, and competitive prices. Just by driving a couple more miles, by shopping Ryers, your feet leave with smiles. And a chance to win free shoes for life. No purchase necessary, no tax on shoes. In beautiful downtown Sharon.
Vukasinovich & Associates is a private mental health and substance abuse treatment group. We address a wide range of addictions and mental health issues for adolescents and adults. We are currently accepting new clients at our Boardman office. If you need help, call us at 1-888-440-0982 to schedule an appointment. We accept public and private insurances. Lucas Inovich and Associates is a subsidiary of Consortium Clinical Services. Call 1-888-440-0982 for an appointment. That's 1-888-440-0982.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com, or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And the show is about to start once again. Afternoon, Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair. We're here talking about what's on your mind, and you get you to listen to a little piece of what's on our mind. And you know what? You know, we are what we are here. And, you know, I have some people in my chat room here. I wish you guys could go into Blog Talk Radio and make yourself out a little profile and get into our chat room, because the people in the chat room are quite interesting. We don't get any dummies in there. I mean, we get some very brilliant people in there, I feel. But even in their brilliancy on either side of things, whether they be conservative or liberal, they come up with some good thoughts. But the one thing that gets me is this. If cancer causes death, I don't want it, period. I don't want any part of it. Why? Because it causes death. The Ku Klux Klan caused death to some of my relatives in the South. It caused property to be taken from some of my relatives in the South that once they were freed, that they went and bought large pieces of land and worked that land, and then the Democrat Party in the South came through with the Jim Crow laws. It said, if your grandfather didn't own land, then you couldn't own land. And, of course, that meant no black person could ever own land. Well, that's the black codes of then. You know what the black codes of now are? It's abortion, which is in the Democrat Party platform. It's black codes now are the welfare system, which is definitely pushed by black codes. It's government dependency, which a whole lot of black folk are going to be dependent on as soon as this healthcare system comes into play. Because if most of us right now are suffering exponentially because of poverty in America, and the war on poverty hasn't done a doggone thing to get anybody out, because government never can. I'd rather be free. I don't care whether the Republicans care for me as a black person or not, and I don't find that as my knowing the Republicans that I know. Oh, yeah, there's some prejudiced ones. There's no doubt about it. There's some racist acting ones. But by and large, you have people that are concerned about the country, that want the country to move forward, not just looking for somebody to put something in a doggone pocket. They're looking to see how they can contribute, like John F. Kennedy said. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. We want this thing to last and to work. And no, Lisa, you don't live in the real world. The real world is where everything has consequences. That's the real world. The real world is here in America, is where you have the opportunity to apply yourself to something and make something out of it for yourself and your family. Instead of the government lording over, we've hired more people in this president's administration in the federal government, getting ready to surpass Bill Clinton's expanse of government. Getting ready to. So you have a bunch of federal employees that guess where they get their money? They get their money off of you and I, of course. Only 52% of us pay taxes. And God forbid that you're late, they make you out to be a criminal. But the ones that don't pay, well, here's a check for you. That's the problem. That's the big problem. Now, if federal government is growing like it's growing, the president wants to raise taxes on the rich, which he knows that if he accomplishes it, which he probably will, because that's telling Republicans, go ahead, let them raise the money on the 2%. And let the 2% react, and that'll be more of a statement than anything that you could do to get that, you know, that get that down. Oh yeah, let the business world react to your raising of taxes on it, and then we'll see what your legacy will be. So I say, have at it. You can't stop them, Republicans. Because all they're doing is setting you up to kill you during the midterms so that you don't have any power and the Marxist socialist people that are in control of our government now will have free reign to do whatever the hell they want to do. Now, I'm not trying to be mean about anything or hard or harsh, but I look at what you say. Listen, you got to do something about this. Let this happen. Because the only thing that can happen is they're going to hire all these people for government. Don't forget, we haven't seen the full expanse yet, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen the full expanse. You know why? Because healthcare has in it that we need 9,000 brand new IRS agents. Isn't that a good thing? 9,000 new IRS agents to implement health care. What do you think about it? 269, you're on air.
Jethro, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Michigan, man? Yeah, I was going to, you were next, you know, talking about your state, because y'all going crazy up there, ain't you?
Hey, I was thinking, I said, how many times is Jeff going to put these grits in the microwave and rewarm them up and try to serve it as a new dish? I don't know how long you're going to be able to get away with that.
I'm not serving no new dish. I'm telling people the real dish so that they quit going through this crazy. See, and then somebody's going to tell me the fear-mongers. Look, you idiots. let me tell you something. It's not fearing when you spend two times as much almost as what you take in, and all you want to do is raise taxes on one set of people, one, that's going to keep the government running for 8 freaking days when you do it. That's stupid. Stupid. Okay, thank you, Lethal. That was for you. But anyway, go ahead, Michigan man. You got the floor.
I got a new term for you, Joe.
Yeah, what's
you
that?
You know, you said racist. I just figured it out, man. You're a partyist. Is that such a term? You're a partyist.
No,
man.
But I'm not. I'm not.
I'm
because,
sorry, using that.
But see, I'm not. Here's the thing. I work with everybody. But the problem is, I am not for the BS. I'm not for the, you know, your side is evil and my side ain't. When they're sitting here in Youngstown, they can't get a single African-American elected countywide on a Democrat ticket. Okay? They're sitting here fighting this battle, but they give their vote up every single freaking time. What sense does that make?
Well, Jeff, I think if you're going to postulate yourself as a, you know, being a leader or having something to say of knowledge, I think you have to offer, seeing that you know the problem, right? I think you have to offer, you know, a solution. And everybody knows, Jeff, even the ones that you're talking to about giving their votes to Democrats, even they know that simply changing their position on a few issues as it relates to politics or going with a different party is not the solution. Now, almost everybody knows that, Jeff, but you keep – that's your number one
agenda. I don't want them to move party. I want them to stop being stupid in their own.
But
look.
Jeff – But Jeff,
hold on, Stanley, it ain't your turn.
No, it ain't your turn.
Michigan man is talking. He and I brought you open, but you got to wait. Go ahead, Michigan man.
Well, you know, that's a vague term. I want you to stop being stupid. But if I listen to you, your stop being stupid is your opinion about what they should be doing.
No, this is not an opinion. This is about self-preservation. And it's
haven't heard any of that come from you. I haven't heard anything about black self-preservation come from you.
Oh, my God. What are you talking about? I'm telling them this. They're sitting at a party where their party chair and two of their elected officials statewide are getting ready to get rid of a judgeship that we, the Republicans, appointed a black judge into. And probably will appoint another black judge into the same spot since the one judge has retired. And they are fighting them and they're telling them, your opinion does not matter. What we want to do is more important, even though you throw your votes at us. And you can't even give this judgeship to them for 1 year to placate your own people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not black preservation, man. You're playing merry-go-round.
What do you mean, merry-go-round? You're talking about getting somebody experience as a judge that when another judgeship comes up, gives them an upper hand to get it just like white privilege has had all these years. That's what they used to do, my friend. My father was an attorney. He ran for judge here in this area. I understand it. I've seen it. This is what they do.
Yeah.
They appoint one of their own in the middle of a term, and then they put that one in because he's been in the position. But what about doing that for a black man? No, it can't happen. Why? Because he's not our kind. That's the craziness.
If you look at in the area where we're at, it's a Republican county. which, by the way, most county, most cities where blacks live, I said most, so I know somebody's going to call in. Somebody
you
gonna
know
call
they're
going
to get you.
Yes, sir, yep, yep.
Bring you know they're
going to
get you.
Are controlled by white Republican, in most cases, counties. Now,
not here.
Okay. Well, that's what I said. I said some. Or, and even if not white Republican counties, white Democratic counties.
Well, yeah.
Okay. All right. So now we've got.
See, they don't believe that the white Democrats are prejudiced.
We've got a black judge, right? They'll always put one or two up there.
Right.
But, okay, now, so let's be clear. Let's not play no games. Republicans or Democrats, they'll put a black face up there and shine it up with some grease.
Democrats
because that's
won't.
All we are. Huh?
The Democrats won't.
Yes, they will.
No, they won't.
They won't.
I'm,
you said
I'm
the, Demo- the Democrats
I,
won't elect
not
a black
in Ohio.
Judge? Oh,
no,
well,
sir.
Not in Ohio.
Not okay. in Ohio.
Well, and probably the only reason why is that the interest groups behind those judgeships and what's at stake, they're not going to leave that up to chance to a black Democrat, and I don't blame them. See, that's you don't understand, man, that at some point, man, these folk are white before they're Democrats or Republicans. You think it happens after the fact.
No, I keep telling people this. This is my point. But they keep playing the games on one side or the other. And I'm saying you're not even voting your self-preservation. You're not voting where you can get a leg up. You're just freaking voting for the sake of voting.
Well,
that's what bothers
that.
Me. Well, that's what bothers me about us. And, Stanley, you're going to have to wait till after this news break. I ain't going to run all these commercials afterwards. And you're going to get to come up right in that time right then. But, you know, they just told me that I'm to the right of Rush Limbaugh, so I guess I'm Rush Limbaugh. That must be who I am. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back with our callers.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A Youngstown man was killed in a crash on Interstate 80 that involved four semis. It happened early yesterday in Monroe County, Pennsylvania. The coroner identifies the man who died as 41-year-old Daniel Snyder, who drove for Coy Brothers Incorporated of Canfield. Eastbound lanes of the interstate were closed for about 15 hours. Police in Salem Township say a 43-year-old woman and her 5-year-old grandson were beaten, not shot. An autopsy shows that Melinda Todd died of blunt force trauma. The boy, Cole Reed, was critically wounded. They were found on December 3rd. The severity of the head injuries made it look like they had been shot. Officials say they have a person of interest, but no one has been arrested. An animal owner has told a federal judge that the state's new rules for keeping exotic creatures will wipe out most of her business and put her animals' lives in danger. Cindy Huntsman owns Stump Hill Farm near Massillon. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Woo! Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolution. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com or hit us on Facebook. Or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner city organization of believers present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time. And that's what we do at HeartReach. And we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
How did we get here? Dad's in the hospital again. Mom is so confused. Where am I going to find help? Do I put them in long-term care? What about rehab? The hospital called and I've got to make a decision.
These questions are part of the stress someone feels when they're caring for someone they love that's getting older. If the stress of caring for your own family and for your elderly loved one is becoming too much, Ivy Woods Manor in North Lima is a guardian elder care facility that provides a secure environment and expert care. Each member of our community is treated with compassion and understanding. We offer skilled nursing and advanced specialty short-term rehabilitation, as well as memory care and cognitive health management, all in a quiet, peaceful setting in North Lima. Our state-of-the-art facilities and expertly trained staff ensure that your elderly loved one gets the compassionate care they need. Find out more about Ivy Woods Manor in North Lima online at ivywoodsmanor.com or call 330-549-3939.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Get the Wave Ventilation Unit. It will transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-888-964-WAVE. That's 1-888-964-WAVE.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-535-1648. 1-888-535-1648. That's 1-888-535-1648. 1-888-535-1648.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we are back once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends, Jeff in the air chair. It's time for Stanley, y'all. You ready for Stanley? Oh, wait, no, Stanley, I don't know. You got a mixed response. I ain't no good, man. You know that. Introducing the liberal one from New York, Stanley. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, you've been lowering your voice the last couple of days.
Yeah. I've been listening to what you're saying. The problem I have with what you're saying, Jeff, is always, like I said to my two, it's always your debate of saying we should take all the government out and everything will be okay.
Oh, I don't believe that.
A huge problem. Yes, you do, because the way.
Wow! Now, how you gonna tell me now? Hey, look,
wow,
I just told you.
Today, let them do this, and all things were. We did it your way.
No, you didn't do it my way at all. No, you didn't, Stanley. No, you did it. You did it. What some Republicans thought should happen, not Jeff.
Jeff, let me finish. We did it your way because 2008 was a perfect example of we did it your way. 2008, I'm reading more and more books that basically saying that Fannie and the other thing wasn't the reason that it dropped. It was because of the deregulation of the bank, and it was because we let the bank do whatever they wanted without the government.
Bill Clinton's mark-to-market rule was one of the reasons why the banking industry went down because of how they had to report their assets and their losses.
It's because Clinton, like you said, took out the Glass-Steagall rule, which is that one you're talking about. I agree with you that part. The bank went amok. You can't say the bank.
Well,
did.
No, there's no doubt. I don't deny that. Family.
Do. The bank did some stuff you and me would never do.
Stanley,
do. Person,
you're right.
You never do what the bank did. Never.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Stanley. I don't disagree.
None of them went to prison. They almost cost the economy of the United States and the world.
You know why? You know why they didn't go to prison?
Go ahead. Why?
Okay, the reason why they didn't go to prison is because they were under edict from the freaking federal government to make those loans to those people.
Oh, here we go again.
Well, I'm just telling you. Listen.
Jeff,
The federal government all but said we're backing. Well,
it's called bank making sure that they make profit for themselves. It was
they should.
We want to make more money. We want to be more greedy. We want to make this. This is the part you never look. You always go back to government. This you don't look the other part. Say, let me see what happened during that time. And if you would look at the number, you would be astonished at what they did.
Stop. I know what they did, Stanley.
And put the thing, I have no problem with you putting some stuff in the government, but not everything is wrong because of the government.
Once again, I know what they did, Stanley.
No,
I know what the...
Never focus on it, Jeff. You
that's because
they're... Let's see what happened in the other side. How come the bank went to Mark? You went, you said something, and suddenly 2 seconds later, you go to government. And just focus on the bank and what they did.
Michigan man,
hey,
who regulates?
I'm not helping you, man. Really got you on the ropes, man.
Oh no, see,
I'm gonna
hang
you
up then. I'm gonna hang you up then. I'm gonna pull a Tracy on you.
He got you on the ropes, man.
He ain't got me on no ropes, not at all. Listen,
Jeff, you always talk. You said
okay.
Oh,
let me talk, Stanley. Stanley,
Can you change your speech? Can you look at the other side and say, let's
Stanley,
see
listen to me. I don't disagree with you that the bankers went and ran amok. Because
what
they were. This is how they got away with it.
Talk about the details.
Oh, God. Listen to me, Stanley. The bankers, of course, set the things up to make profit for themselves. They're a business. Can I finish?
You seem to know
because of those variable. Because of the variable. Stanley, the variable rate loans that they started loaning out and the way that they had to report those things were a thing of disaster from the very beginning. The banks ran amok with the full blessing of the United States government. I'm not on any ropes because I know what happened. They went amok with the full faith and backing of the United States government. That's why we bailed them out, is because when we told them to loan the money, we backed the loans up and then told them, well, if you've got a portfolio and you got 20 or 30 bad loans in 100 of them, you got to report all of that portfolio bad. And the bank really didn't lose the money that they said they lost. They lost on paper. But guess what? It translates out in the disaster for you and I. And so, therefore, that's what happened. And then Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac was not being run properly. Bush administration tried their best to get in there and regulate it, and they were withstood with Maxine Waters, Barney Frank, Chris Dodd, several other Democrats that said, you're just racist. You just don't want us to have the black man Franklin Reins to do anything good. This, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And they pulled back, and they shouldn't have. So that is the Bush administration fault, too. And then they spent money like water, and I agree with you.
Jeff, it was bigger than that. It was also the point that the bank went to the insurance people and said, we want to have the insurance that even if you don't pay your bill, that we still get paid. It was also that we had some people that were supposed to protect us, the three agencies that basically decided to have grades on things that you invested. They gave triple A's to things that was not triple A's at all. It's bigger than that. That's another part you don't talk about.
Once again, Stanley, it doesn't matter if the freaking government is behind it.
Yes, it does. It makes a difference when you invest on something and somebody gives you a triple A, and then you found out, because I don't know about this, and you found out nobody knew about this, that, oh, it was never a triple A. Trust me now. Go to an investment person and say, oh, you should take that. You should invest in that. Don't worry. It's a triple A. Those things were there to protect us.
I agree.
That's another part. And the insurance wasn't just Fannie Mae.
Here's where you're wrong at, Stanley. Investments are just that. They're investments.
No, investments are not just that. That's what you don't talk about. Because
you don't have a guarantee. Stanley, Did you lose money in the stock market?
Go ahead.
Did you lose money in your 401k or in the stock market or something?
Yes.
So did I. And guess what? I didn't want to lose that money. I wish I could get that money back right now. But guess what? How's the husband? She's gone. Oh, I.
Yeah, but
I say the devil to replace it.
But I wanted to find out how come I lost the money, and I went.
You lost it because it was an investment, and it wasn't, and it was not guaranteed.
So what? I didn't just went to government is the one responsible. I went deeper than that. I said, let me see, is the government the only thing responsible? No, it's not.
No. Wait, whoa.
That has nothing to do with government. Has nothing to do with the. You think that the bank and the people responsible for the grazing have deal together? You think the bank and the insurance people didn't have deal together to say, look, let me cover your back, you cover mine? Those are
Michigan man.
Yes, sir.
Jay Early said he really loved when you said you wasn't going to help me. He said he's picking himself off the floor on that one. He loved that. I thought you should know that.
Oh, okay. I'll let y'all go over the slave quarters.
Here's my point.
Y'all can argue over that.
Well, here's my point, Doc. Here's my point. I don't put no stock in, like I said, in this situation because the whole thing was there's a whole mishmash of things going on, and there's people, millionaires, stealing your money daily, and you're sitting up there, like you say, fighting these slave quarter fights because that's what it is. We're fighting each other over what millionaires do.
Right.
And millionaires and billionaires. And then we have no say-so or sway for ourselves because we're fighting each other. They need us to play the game, but the thing is they're playing the game at our expense. And we're stupid to where we're sitting up here fighting each other over one side or other that are sitting back behind closed doors shaking hands and making plans. Am I right about that one?
Yeah, you're right about that one.
Thank you.
I agree with that one. But the problem I have is like you would say 2 minutes ago that, let the rich have a tax and suddenly, hell's going to break loose. It's about time.
The reason why.
Wait a minute. It's not normal that the rich has 40 or 50% of the wealth of the rest of the nation.
Yes, it
That's
is.
That's where I have a problem. How can we don't talk about that?
Jeff.
Yeah.
You know why you attract other partiers to your commentary?
What's that?
It's because you, like Stanley saying, your commentary is basically, along a partier's line. Meaning, you masquerade as a, this quote unquote black leader or, interesting black. Hello.
How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. I'm reading a book that talks about Freddie Mae and Mac was a lie, and it was the biggest lie that cover up the real reason that the bank were doing what they do.
Yeah. Well,
I'm reading that, and I'm like, really? I didn't even know that shit. I haven't even to go to a good book that is Death of Depression by Paul Krugman, that's an economist, that's explaining it. And even me, I'm like, I got to read this again.
Yeah. One of the things that's good about reading the information is because once you know that there are interest groups on both sides, then it's good to read information coming from both sides so you can see who the interest groups are.
Exactly.
Once you see who the interest groups are, then you can figure out their talking points. And
yeah.
A lot of times when you find out who the interest groups are, then you can get at whether or not these policies and things will be better for a few or for the masses. And I don't think, Jeff, I don't think they do a lot of that. They
exactly.
just pretty much just read
I,
from
like,
the script. Yeah,
exactly. I'm script. Like, I go to this other stuff and I want to go to Jeff. Explain me how come somebody who frauded for the people almost crashed the thing, and some of them are working basically for the government, stole $47 million and no tax, and that's normal. And nobody talks about it. Everybody's like, shh,
you can't say it. And I'm like, nobody talks about it? That's normal? And we freak out for poor people and say, oh, he has a free phone. He has this. What about a person that has 47 million pays no tax? What do you mean that?
Yeah. That's what I say. Yeah, it's juvenile. It's pretty much just entertainment talk. It's kind of what it is. I mean, in a nutshell, that's what it is.
Like this morning, I don't think if you heard it, Google it didn't pay tax for $2 billion. All that money went to Bermuda and everything. How come we don't talk about that? That's $2 billion. That's one industry. That's not the only industry is doing that. And we're going to talk about, he has some free phone.
Yep. No, I mean, that you're absolutely right, because that, you know, that's why I say that's the talking points of the other side, you know, just to kind of keep people from digging into that stuff like that. And you know, this, I mean, it's basically corporatocracy, and you're absolutely right. When you look at how they operate, I mean, that's the ugly side, you know, and nobody want to pull the cover back to see that ugly side.
Because if you don't pull that cover of the ugly side, how can you expect, if you're going to be the example of the rich and everything, and let's say you're a rich person, you're frauding, why should I follow the law? Why should I, as a decent human being, follow the law when I know that if I follow the law, I have to pay that much taxes and this and that, but you who don't follow the law, just because you have more money, you're able to cover your ass.
You know the other thing, too, and this is, I mean, it's such a game, three card Molly game. If you look at the ones who say, well, we're talking about the corporations, say, oh, man, we got too much regulations. Y'all stopping us from doing what we do, create these jobs. If you look at the records on the lobbying firms and the ones who influence government policy the most, and I'm talking about influencing it to their benefit, it's the same corporation. They get all the subsidies. So when they run in a game saying they want less government, because they benefit when the government is like it is. Either way, they benefit.
And
the game they run. But then you get Jeff and them, who he got for $20 in their pocket, and including me, talking about, you know, well, we messing with the job creators.
Exactly. And by the way, the job creators doesn't guarantee, because you give them less taxes, that they're not going to keep the money in their pocket and not create jobs. That's another thing I tell them. You think all of them say, oh, well, you know what? I got $100,000. Let me start creating jobs. Not necessarily. Some of them say, let me get that money and keep it in my pocket since I have a tax break.
Well, and these quote-unquote job creators, they have their own spokespersons. They're called lobbyists. They don't need Jeff and Tracy to speak for them. That's why they hire lobbyists to speak for them.
Yeah.
So I don't get it.
And another thing, I was reading that book that freaked me out. Like, remember yesterday when Tracy said the truth? That was one thing that said to Six, that she said, it's not all the one, when Six says, I don't care about the rich because they're the one who created the business. And then Tracy said, that's not true.
Yeah.
And it's true. I went to get the form, and that's so not true.
But see,
are not the people who created them. Yes, there's Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and everything. But the rich of the rich are not the people who created the business. Some of them are just the CEO. Some of them are just hedge fund manager. Some of them are this and that and people. They are not the creator of that business.
Right. If you listen to closely, real closely to Tracy, and I'll say it when she's on the line. Tracy is a walking contradiction. I mean, because she'll switch positions on an issue and agree with the truth from time to time. You hear it and say, wait a minute, Tracy. She do it all the time. Just like yesterday. I absolutely heard that. I said, listen to that, Tracy. Now she's telling the truth about the big business. Now she's telling the truth about how blacks got into condition. She'll tell the truth and then turn around and say it's our fault.
Exactly. That was the first time I heard Tracy say something. I was like shocked when she said to Six, that's not true. And I went to get the information. And I could go to Six to the book and tell her, go to that page of the book, and he talks about what she said. He talked about that. If all the people says that they think that the 1% of the people created that business, it's not true. Let's see the facts of what it is. And that's where you go to the fact of seeing hedge fund. He goes to the book and he explains that 17 hedge fund manager get $17 billion.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's more than 800 teachers. And those 17 hedge fund managers, it's not like they have expertise. A lot of them lose the money, and it's basically a pick and choice, like a casino thing.
Right.
I think the action is going to be better. I think the stock's going to be better this
year. It's a game.
This.
Right. No,
and
you're right, man. And
a lot of them
don't have any, you know, real expertise. They just a social order. They went to school with these guys. You know, they're in the social clubs and the secret societies and things. And they just get into those positions. And
Ax, once again, I don't know what's going on inside the chat room, but Alex, I see you standing by listening, and you're going to tell me whether how crazy I am or how crazy I'm not. I know it. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. But all you people in the chat room, we say hey to you, and watch it, Jay Early. Jay Early's all the way from Germany. Hanging out with us in the chat room, laughing at me. That's not fair, man. It's just not fair. But anyway, I'm enjoying myself. I have another friend came in. Big Bob came in to hang out with me. What's going on, Bob? See if you're on over there.
Hey, good afternoon, all.
Yeah, you're doing up there. You're doing good. I got you in there. Okay, now let me finish beating up on Stanley, because Stanley think he was beating up on me.
Jeff, can I add just one more thing? Just one more thing. Yesterday, remember when Sig said, I don't care about the rich people that get all the money because they're the one who created the business. And what
the wealth.
The wealth or whatever. And Tracy said, that's not true. Because not all the people who are the 1% or 2% are the person who created the business. And that's been proven by many books. I'm reading a book that's talking about that. That's saying that, basically, perfect example. They took the best edge hunter managers, 17 of them, the best of them and everything. They're getting $17 billion.
And?
They didn't create any jobs. They didn't create any business and everything. We think that... They didn't create anything. A lot of the 1-2% don't create business. Didn't do it. They were CEOs. They were partners. They were this and that. They were lawyers and everything. Yes, there's a percentage of them who create jobs, but not all of them do. And that's something that you never talk about, Jeff. Ever.
Wait a minute. It doesn't matter, Stanley.
It doesn't matter. It makes a difference, Jeff, because it comes back to what Six came yesterday and said, I don't care who they are, because she has a tendency of loyalty of saying, if they create the business, they deserve that payment. That's what she was saying. And when you come back and say, that's not true, you just crush your argument. And that's what
I'm going to quote
yesterday.
A famous congressman from this area, Mr. Jim Trafficant.
Jimmy.
And his quote is, my father never worked for a poor man.
And what I'm going to add to that is this. It doesn't matter, Stanley, that they were CEOs or they were venture capitalists. They put their money to work, and it made more money by producing something. That's the point, Stanley, that you're not understanding. That's why we understand that when the rich are getting richer, I'm telling you the reason why the rich are getting richer is because you're voting more and more liberal every day. And the government is growing huge leaps and bounds. And all of that money that would be inside the economy
is now.
Well, let me finish my not true statement, okay? Okay. Alex, I was ready for you. I wish you'd stayed on there. Yes, it is true, because government is growing and morphing the benefits it has to pay out in its retirees, and it's morphing the private sector. Government employees are making much more money per capita than are the people in the private industries. That is a statistical, economical fact of America. And if you don't believe it, you just have to go and pound salt. Because
okay,
it
so,
is
so,
the
so,
truth.
So Jeff, if it is true, so explain me that. So you're saying let's talk the 17 hedge fund manager that got $17 billion. Explain me that. They're not creating jobs.
No, but no. Whoa! They are too creative. Wait a minute. See, there you go. Wait a minute. Don't tell me that you're gonna tell me you're gonna say something that's not true again.
So what does a hedge fund manager do? They pick and choose stock to make sure that basically you're picking and choose stock together to say, oh,
right,
this is going to go higher and everything. They're still giving $17 billion. You didn't create a job. You could lose all that money and you still get paid. Do you understand that, Jeff?
Once again, they are investing your money to make more money.
Yeah,
they are making.
They
are investing your money.
Yeah.
It's in a 401k and my money that is in a 401k, and they are making something off of it.
They're trying to make something off of it. It doesn't mean that it works. If you go some of them lost 40% of your own money, and they still got it. If I'm a person who's an employee and I'm responsible for losing a lot of money, I'm fired. Period.
Once again,
if I'm a head start entrepreneur, I still get paid. I still get some contract. I still
Why?
Because we have contract. Because when they sign the contract, they have contract with the CEO. And who votes the contract of the CEO? Other CEO.
The hedge fund does.
They cover themselves. They don't think about the rest. They cover their own.
Oh God, Stanley, you're so twisted on this.
Don't read the book if you don't believe it. It's called.
Take your money out of it, then, Stanley. Doggone it! Take your money.
But
don't put your money to money. Listen.
Talk about the.
Put it under the mattress.
I don't need to. Listen, Stanley. It doesn't matter what I talk about them.
Because if you're going to make a point that you say the government is responsible for this, you got to go to the other person. Let me see the greed of the corporation also.
It doesn't matter about the greed of the corporation.
It does matter for all those people
who
work and never get a better salary. It does matter.
Okay, Stanley, now, I'm going to tell you my opinion. Stanley, this is my opinion, and you're going to let me get it out. I believe it does not matter, and this is why. Because government is the one that regulates the hedge fund operators, the banking industry, every doggone thing. And when they're the catch-all and they're the final authority, they're the ones that's finally responsible. So therefore, I don't care what the machinations are in the middle.
Okay.
Because it doesn't matter. Because the government could stop that at any moment.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
Matthew, can you talk to Jeff? Because he doesn't seem to hear what I'm saying. Please do. Matthew, please do.
I'm not a psychologist.
You understand. It doesn't matter. Wow.
You know what, Michigan man? I'm done with you, man. I'm done with you, man. 412, you are on the air.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Alex,
good afternoon,
Stanley, Michigan man. You know, I wasn't going to call in, but then I heard, you know, y'all just talking. I heard a lot of crazy stuff. You know, a lot of it, I have to say, sorry, Stanley, but you're talking crazy. you know, when it comes to free enterprise, I mean, I just think you're missing the point. I mean, you're just so focused on how much people are making. Honestly, I don't blame them for taking advantage of opportunities that's in front of them. The problem is that, like Jeff brought up, is that it's the government, because when it came to like that whole housing issue. If you didn't have the Federal Reserve guaranteeing this bad debt on bad mortgages, then this wouldn't happen. And we see this all the time. And this isn't just a problem with housing. This is a problem. Let me finish my statement real quick. This isn't just an issue with housing. This is a issue with government intervention in general. This always happens. When the government guarantees any portion or whatever of an industry, this is what happens. It prices go up. It's the reason why, you know, why they've selected black men. What's, you know, it's not the reason, but it's the reason why, you know, prisons are a big business now because of the war on drugs. It's the reason why school tuition just keeps going up by like average of 10% every year. The colleges are just making out like bandits because of this, because of the government student loan program. You see this any time the government you know, gets involved, and that's all that we're talking about here, is that the government is guaranteeing something, and you know, you have people in government that they cannot possibly know what's the right thing to do for every single industry. That's why they need to get out of the way, and the strictest regulation is free enterprise, because if you have no guarantee from the government, then that means if you make the wrong business decision, you are going to fail, you're going to go bankrupt, and the market is going to go towards a more viable business. And that's how true free enterprise works, and that's why it will always actually be, the regulations will always be stronger and stiffer than anything the government can think up. Any regulation that the government tries to do is just going to mess things up.
But nobody's investing their money to fail. They're investing their money to make it.
But Alex,
exactly.
Alex, I'm listening to what you're saying. Why are you not talking about the three rating agency that basically decided to say that those investments were AAA? That's another part that you're not talking about. Why are you not talking about basically the three secure insurance company, AGI, mm-hmm. MBI, and those agencies that basically were basically the insurance for those
yep.
investments?
Because
those banks said it, and you could go see a book. I've read the book about it, and I saw the show about it. It even went to those people, and there was a Congress that asked them those things.
Yep, but
so when you're saying I don't know what I'm talking about, I would come back to tell you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, okay. Listen to him, Stanley. Listen to his answer, Stanley.
Okay, Stanley. Why would any insurance company in a particular country say that any investment is bad if it's backed, guaranteed by its own government? If it says that it's bad, then you know, then why would they even do business at all in that country if the very loans, if that very line of credit is being backed by the
because
country?
Because, Alex, they were making profit. That's why.
No, that was not why.
Stanley,
wait a minute. I got to stop you there, Stanley. Stanley, I'm going to shut you off. I got to stop you on that point because this is the point. It's not because they were making profit, Stanley, but because it didn't, Stanley, it's not because they were making profit. This is why. Because the government said, whether you make profit or not, we're going to back it up.
The government had nothing to do with that.
Yes, it, Alex.
Yeah.
Is that not what happened?
That's exactly what happened, Jeff.
No,
because
you didn't. I have what happened here.
Stanley.
That's not what happened.
Stanley. Just because you read
no,
one book doesn't mean you're seeing the full picture.
I went to a different book. I went to an economist. I went to different things.
Hey.
Alex, you're not the only one who's strong and interesting and intelligent. You're not
Stanley,
one who wants to tell the truth. Maybe you're wrong about that one.
Answer me this. Are you telling me that the Federal Reserve was not buying the bad debt? Was not guaranteeing the bad debt?
Yes.
Are you telling me that the Federal Reserve was not guaranteeing it?
That's what I'm telling you. It wasn't just that.
Then you have absolutely no clue what you're talking about then.
Well,
you don't know what you're talking about
because you don't explain the three you're not explaining the rating agency. That had nothing to do with that. You're not explaining
because
that.
It doesn't matter. Because
it does
doesn't matter.
Because when you invest, Alex, come on. When you invest in something and somebody's telling you it's a AAA and it's not, it makes a difference. Come on.
Look, it's an investment.
You're saying me the rating agency
it is
has nothing
an,
to
an
do.
Investment.
The rating agency doesn't do anything to us. Really, Alex. Really.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
Do you know what
I had to shut him off. I had to shut him off because he's just going off. Stanley, you're going to have to listen to us for a couple of minutes then. Alex, we only have 1 minute before we go. Well, no, we don't. We're gonna carry this through for a minute. It's the reason why the people had no problem with that is because the United States government said, win, lose, or draw, we're going to back up these freaking items.
Yeah, and even and what's interesting is that in 2006 and 2007, I didn't like Bush at all. But one thing that he did, he actually went to Congress to try to shut that down, put rein in Fannie and Freddie.
Yes, he did.
And but the Democrats in the House wouldn't let him do it. They was like, you're not going to touch these mortgages. They wouldn't let him do it. The prominent Democrats in the House and in the Senate as well, you know. But you know, so he, you know, his hands were tied. He couldn't do anything. But I think that it's. I don't know. I don't know what to say to people like Stanley, because it's just they're just so focused on. They're so focused on the symptom of the problem and not the problem, really. And, you know,
absolutely. And that was my thing. Hold on 1 second.
But it is a report of extraordinary importance, not only to those who wish to own a home, but it's to the taxpayers of this country who would pay the cost of the cleanup of an enterprise failure.
Representative Richard Baker.
The analysis makes clear that more resources must be brought to bear to ensure the highest standards of conduct are not only required, but more importantly, they are actually met.
Democrat Waters is lying and pretending nothing's wrong.
There were a dozen hearings where, frankly, we were trying to fix something that wasn't broke. Mr. Chairman, we do not have a crisis at Freddie Mac, and in particular at Fannie Mae, under the outstanding leadership of Mr. Frank Raines.
Democrats, once again.
Government.
And as well as the fact that I'm just pissed off at Ophelia, because if it wasn't for you, I don't think that we'd be here in the first place. And now the problem that we have and that we're faced with is maybe some individuals who wanted to do away with GSEs in the first place, you've given them an excuse to try to have this forum so that we can talk about it and maybe change the direction and the mission of what the GSEs had, which they've done a tremendous job. There's been nothing that was indicated this wrong, you know, with Fannie Mae. Freddie Mac has come up on its own, and the question that then presents is the competence that your agency has with reference to the deciding and regulating these GSEs. And so I wish I could sit here and say that I'm not upset with you, but I am very upset because, you know, what you do is you give, you know, maybe giving it a reason to, as Mr. Gonzalez said, to give someone a heart surgery when they really don't need it.
That was Meeks, Democrat out of New York, Republican Royce, asking for regulations.
In addition to our important oversight role in this committee, I hope that we will move swiftly to create a new regulatory structure for Fannie Mae, for Freddie Mac, and the Federal Home Loan Banks.
Democrat Clay calling this a lie.
This hearing is about the political lynching of Franklin Raines.
Republican Roy's begging for regulations.
There is a very simple solution. Congress must create a new regulator with powers at least equal to those of other financial regulators, such as the OCC or the Federal Reserve.
Democrat Meeks being up on a regulator again.
What would make you, why should I have confidence? Why should anyone have confidence in you as a regulator at this point?
Sorry, Congressman. Ophelia did not improperly apply accounting rules. Freddie Mac did. Ophelia did not try to manage earnings properly. Freddie Mac did. So this isn't about the agency engaging in improper conduct. It's about Freddie Mac.
Republican Chase calling out the payoff scheme. Republican telling how it's working.
And we passed Sarbanes-Oxley, which was a very tough response to that. And then I realized that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac wouldn't even come under it. They weren't under the 34 Act. They weren't under the 33 Act. They play by their own rules, and I'm tempted to ask how many people in this room are in the payroll of Fannie Mae, because what they do is they basically hire every lobbyist they can possibly hire. They hire some people to lobby, and they hire some people not to lobby so that the opposition can't hire them.
Democrat Davis being up on a regulator.
But a concern that I have is you're making very specific, what you have correctly acknowledged, broad and categorical judgments about the management of this institution, about the willfulness of practices that may or may not be in controversy. You've imputed various motives to the people running the organization. You went to the board and put a 48-hour ultimatum on them without having any specific regulatory authority to put that kind of ultimatum on them. That sounds like some kind of an invisible line has been crossed.
That's Arthur Davis, who's now Republican. Republicans asking one more time.
Fannie Mae has manipulated, in my judgment, OFAO for years. And for OFAO to finally come out with a report, as strong as it is, tells me that's got to be the minimum, not the maximum.
Good old Democrat Frank saying nothing's wrong.
You seem to be saying, well, these are in areas which could raise safety and soundness problems. I don't see anything in your report that raises safety and soundness problems.
Democrat Waters.
Under the outstanding leadership of Mr. Frank Raines, everything in the 1992 Act has worked just fine. In fact, the GSEs have exceeded their housing goals. What we need to do today is to focus on the regulator, and this must be done in a manner so as not to impede their affordable housing mission, a mission that has seen innovation flourish from desktop underwriting to 100% loans.
There we go. I'm not going to play any more right this minute. We'll go back to that. Alex, are you still there?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm still here. Stanley was talking about, like, the insurance companies, how they would say, well, they're basically would say, yeah, this investment is A-OK. You know, think about if somebody asked you today, because, you know, Fannie and Freddie are, you know, GSEs, you know, government-sponsored enterprises. That's the stand for, in case anybody in your audience doesn't know. They're GSEs. It's like if you ask anybody today, and even your most astute financial professionals, if you ask them, do you think tomorrow the post office will stop delivering your mail? Anybody, any sane thinking person would say, of course I'm going to get my mail tomorrow. Even though the post office has been hemorrhaging billions of dollars for years, but it doesn't matter.
Nope.
A normal entity wouldn't be able to, you know, UPS or FedEx would not be able to lose, you know, $3-4 billion a year, you know, at least $1 billion a year, like the post office does. But because the post office is backed by the United States, it doesn't matter how efficient they run; they're always going to be there. And so, it's only intelligent to assume that, okay, am I going to get my mail tomorrow? Can I depend on, you know, let's say some investment, whether it depended on the parcel service. You can depend on the fact that your mail is going to be there tomorrow. Or if you need to send mail out to clients or magazines or whatever you do, it's a pretty safe bet to say it's going to get there and the post office is going to be there. And it's the same thing with Fannie and Freddie. These are GSEs. And so that's why the argument against it is just completely ridiculous if they're not talking about the actual cause of the problem, which is government guarantees in the marketplace.
Now, wait. Now, you said UPS couldn't afford to do that. Well, they might be too big to fail. You have that loop in there, too, because it depends upon where their political donations go.
Oh, yeah.
And they might be too big to fail.
You know what? And even in all of this, Stanley's still saying, but Goldman almost bet against the low value of CDOs, telling investors they were high quality. They told them they were high quality because the government was backing them up no matter what.
No, it wasn't because of the government was backing them up.
Yes, it was.
No, it
Stanley,
wasn't.
What?
Alex.
Stanley, then why was it? Stanley, no.
Alex.
Don't ask Alex.
No,
you tell me why Goldman was doing that.
I want to ask Alex a question. What, Alex, since you've known this subject, what are CBOs? Since you tell me I'm so much upfront and say that, let's
ask the question and quit the comment.
Just ask the question. I'm not asking you, Jeff. I'm asking.
I'm gonna shut you off.
I don't know what
I
know.
Okay. You know what? You gonna talk to me? How you gonna come on my show and tell me?
How you gonna you got to ask the question and don't let the men answer?
Alex, he wants to know what a CDO is.
A CDO.
He's telling about the CDs on the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac investments is what he's talking about. But he wants to insult. They're gonna tell me he ain't talking to me. This is my show. You talk to me whenever you talk, buddy. So now you want to get yourself together and get into society or what?
Well,
Jeff,
you know,
it has nothing to do with you. I understand what you're saying. It has to do with Alice because he's challenging me on saying I don't know what I'm talking about. So
he
didn't
question and let the man answer.
No, wait. I'm not talking. I don't disrespect you, Jeff. I agree.
Who got their window open?
I want to go to Alex and say I don't know what I'm talking about. So since I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm gonna challenge him. So Alex, what is CDOs? Since I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I think you're talking about, if you're probably talking about when it came to the bad mortgages. I mean, those CDOs. I think the acronym stands for collateralized obligation.
And what happened with that? What is credit default swap also? Since I don't know what I'm talking about, because those are...
We didn't say you didn't know what you're talking about. We told you you're wrong in your assessment of it.
No, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying that. I want Alex to go there because he knows where I'm going to go. Because he thinks it's only the government that did everything. What is credit default swap, by the way, Alex? That's another thing that we didn't add also.
CDS is...
Stanley, you are focusing again on all the symptoms of the issue and not the actual problem. I'm not denying. This is really frustrating because everything that you're talking about wouldn't occur if the guarantee was not there in the first place.
But Alex, the guarantee wasn't done by the government. The guarantee was done already by the insurance. That's what.
No.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Oh God.
I'm not screaming at you, Jeff.
The reason why I'm screaming at you, Stanley, is because it's so frustrating to hear that come out your mouth.
Jeff.
Oh, Alex, you got a lot of noise going on in your background.
Jeff, if I come with you with things that are true, why don't you go do the research first? I have no problem bringing you the research. None.
Stanley, wait a minute. See, that's why I shut you off. Now, you made a statement, and I started answering, and you cut right across me, right under me. Can't do that. I know you're excited, and you want to continue going, but that's not how we can run this here. Now, once again, I'm telling you this, that you're talking about a situation that would not even exist if the United States government had not put its full faith behind those documents, those investments. That's the problem. You just heard 10 minutes of regulators trying to get control of those investments and so that they could stop any kind of a default like what happened. And you heard the Democrats fighting them, calling them nasty names and saying there's nothing wrong with solvent, we're this, that, and the other, going through this, blah, blah, blah. You heard that, and then you want to go back to the pity point stuff that don't matter. It does not matter if the government backs it up, Stanley. The government backed up Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac investments and said if you make these loans, you can't lose. We will pay them if there's a default.
Jeff, if I bring you the information that you're wrong, would you believe?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'll bring you the information that you're wrong.
That's what I want. I want the information. But I don't know what information you're going to bring.
Jeff, if I'm right, you better bring it because I'm bringing the information. You cannot come to me that you're inventing.
What you going to do? Say that again.
If I bring you the information that you're wrong,
Yeah.
And I have no problem. Alex, same thing. I can bring you the information that both of you are wrong.
Okay.
And then what you're going to do about it? After reading that, what are you going to do about it? Are you gonna debate your point, or are you going to search more and say, let me see if it's true?
Okay. No, we're going to go through it, Stanley. Because what I was trying to tell you is this. It still would not have existed. Would not have been a problem, an issue, or anything if the full faith and government of the United States was not behind the Fannie Mae and the Freddie Mac loans.
And I'm telling you, it has been, and the Fannie Mae was a part of it, but I'm saying it's bigger than that, and the other bigger part, you're not seeing it at all. And the banks would have still done it, even if Fannie and Freddie Mac would have not been there. Trust me on that. There's many proof of that that I don't care. I don't see how come Alex doesn't see it and you don't see it.
Because we're understanding what the bottom line is.
That's
here's
not
the thing.
Fannie and Freddie Mac is not the bottom line, Jeff.
No, I didn't say they weren't.
It's not the bottom line.
I said we're understanding what the bottom line was. The bottom line is, Stanley, is that the government backed up the Fannie Mae and the Freddie Mac loans.
Hey, can I say something?
Go ahead,
yeah,
Michigan.
One of the reasons why they don't see it, because Alex and both of them are partyists, too.
Oh, Alex is nowhere near a partyist.
Oh, yes, he is. He just,
oh, God.
He was that libertarian partyist.
Well, I mean, he's not a partyist, and we're not partyists.
Small government is one of the things.
You need small government. I'm not saying
whether you do or you don't. I'm just saying that's one of the talking points of this party.
And you want to push Fannie and Freddie always in the thing because you want the government. Like I said, you cannot do anything without putting, oh, the government's responsible, both of you. And I'm telling you, it's bigger than that. But you don't want to see
it's not bigger than that, Stanley.
Go ahead.
It can't be bigger than that, Stanley, because
yes,
the government.
Can I finish my statement? Yes.
Can I finish
can.
And tell you why it can't be bigger? Then you can say
go ahead.
It cannot be bigger than that because the government is the end all and be all of regulation in America.
No, and really they're not.
No, it's not.
You know what? And really, let me tell you why
they're
not, Jeff. Let me tell you why they're not.
Okay.
Because here's the one thing you have to understand. Government is, let me see, government did not come in on a flying saucer or, you know, let me see, the wings of
that
heaven
you know
did not
of.
Drop government. Huh? Huh?
That you know of.
In other words, it don't have a veil of kryptonite around it, and government was dropped off from the planet Pluto. Government are people organized. This is at the core of what government is. It's people organizing for particular reasons. Now, the reason the federal government is not the end all because this is a corporatocracy. And
okay.
if you look up the definition and the history of corporatocracy and government alongside each other, corporatocracy is just government by another means. So what you just had was two sets of interest group vying for resources. Y'all keep, I don't know where y'all get this government monster from, like it got dropped off from outer space.
Doc, government always does one thing. It builds itself. And the one thing about government is it doesn't make anything to sell. It doesn't create wealth. It doesn't do anything. All it does is constrain and direct. That's its job. And the problem is here, a Michigan man.
That depends on what type of government you're talking about. But go
ahead. Or our government. Let's put our government. We have an EPA that's freaking out of control and putting people out of work, and the people voted for more are the same.
Uh-huh.
That's number one. Number two, you got a government that's getting ready to hire 9,000 IRS agents.
Yeah, I understand that.
To institute a health care plan?
Listen, if you look at every organized, so to speak, group or movement in America, they all start out as movements, then they turn into business, and then they turn into a racket. Those are the three steps.
Okay.
So everything that you're saying the federal government is, so is corporatocracy.
I'm not disagreeing with you as far as corporatocracy goes.
All
right. Alex, go ahead.
I disagree largely. I mean, you're right that our government has become a corporatocracy. I would agree with you there. But that's not the way government is supposed to be as written in our Constitution.
We the people.
Okay. You know, and this is where I think that the consciousness of a train for you, Alex, loses a wheel or something. Because what you're doing is you're trying to read into the minds of these Europeans something that's not there.
No, I'm not. No.
With the Founding Fathers.
We're looking at law, Michigan, man.
Law. What do you mean, law?
What did I say?
Man makes laws.
Absolutely.
Okay, so don't be talking about as you're talking about some universal law. These
I didn't say it was not universalist. Now here you go. You're going off the track. I ain't saying nothing about that.
You said I'm talking about law.
I said we're referring to the law.
What law?
The reason why Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac could do what they were doing, and the regulators were trying to regulate them,
I'm not going to go into that argument with you, Jim.
It was backed by the government, the full faith of the United States government and Treasury. So the thing is the reason why they had to bail out the banks is because the banks were guaranteeing what the government said they were going to pay in the first place.
No, it wasn't the bank. It wasn't Fannie and Freddie Mac that was it. Hey, Jeff, you want me to send you the information? Alex, give me both your email because I just did it all in documents there. And once you reach that guy, you can never say you were never informed because
no, but Stanley. Stanley,
yeah,
I understand.
No, yes,
send it.
Jeff, if I were
send
you
it. Don't talk about it because I'm not buying it.
How come you're not buying it? What happened?
I'm telling you why it doesn't.
Okay.
Everything in between.
So there's no point, Jeff. There's no point of talking to you.
Stanley, I'm putting my...
things that could tell you, hey,
Stanley,
you...
this is why I cut you off. Look, I'm putting my email address in the chat room.
Okay.
And that's for anybody else in there that wants to send me anything as well. So that we can correspond and we can get to the bottom of this stuff.
Alex, can you do the same? Because I want to send you the information also. Because you say, I don't know what I'm talking about. And that's a real big offer when you're telling me that.
He's offended, Alex.
I'm offended when you tell me that. Because I would
tell him you're sorry,
Alex,
man. And, you know.
Because Alex, you fucked up that makes me...
And you know, we better be careful.
We better not get into bullying.
Yeah, we can't bully here on the air.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, none of this intellectual bullying by you, Alex. You know you're smarter than the average one of us. You intellectually bullying us around here. Michigan man is too, but he don't say it to everyone.
Well, y'all something else, boy.
I've been wanting to point to this. This is something about how government grows. In Ohio, we have a problem here with the stealing of scrap metals.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an article, a small little article in the Tribune yesterday, that in Ohio they're going to do something about it and they're going to register it. And guess who's going to be in charge of it?
The government.
Homeland Security.
Oh, stealing of copper and all these things that I have.
Homeland Security.
Yep.
Like they don't have enough to do.
They don't.
Hey. Well, this American experiment, ain't no need y'all, now you got a retarded baby and you won't throw it away.
No, we're not throwing it away. We're trying to say the only thing we was doing, Michigan man, was pointing out the fact of how the genesis of a situation happened.
Yes.
Stanley disagrees with how we say it happened. And and vice versa. I'm not disagreeing that the corporate corporations run every government in the world. I'm sorry, there's not one government the corporations don't run.
Okay.
And so you know, I understand that thought, in my opinion. That's my opinion. Okay, and so here it is. I understand it, but when it came to the people of the United States getting hurt, that Sarbanes-Oxley law rule that came under Clinton, that mark-to-market rule that came under Clinton, were wholly responsible for the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac situations. Wholly responsible. And that's why we had the housing market go down. Not all of the banking and everything else, because there was a worldwide slowdown. And then Bush and them had spent money like drunken sailors, no doubt. Two wars, no doubt about it. I think the wars were necessary. The liberals don't think they were. So I understand, and that's going to be a difference of opinion there. But the bottom line is the government backed up those loans because of that ruling that Clinton put in when he was president, and it never was changed, and Bush administration was not successful in getting it overturned.
Yeah, but Jeff, it's bigger than that. Like I said, you don't talk about the detail about the rating agency that basically said, even Congress asked those people, how come you didn't say something about this? How come you
Stanley
decided-
Stanley, I'm going to give you a for instance. I'm going to walk you through this. I'm going to help you out here, okay? You're the rating agency, okay? You are the rating agency, correct?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to role play here. Okay, now, I have a stock where I'm selling Widget 1. Widget 1 is a good idea. We sold a million widgets, and stock is trading pretty high, $30-$40 a share on my Widget 1. Widget 2 is they're loaning out a lot of money, and they're making these loans, and I got this other bank to say, no matter what happens to Widget 2, we're going to back up Widget 2 because we think it's a good idea. Which one are you going to invest in?
Yeah, but the rating agency, that's not their job.
It is their job.
No, the rating agency
is
their
job. That's why they're the rating agency.
Jeff, listen. The rating agency, their job is to make sure that those loans are, first of all, legal. Second of all, are good for the people. They're supposed to be
absolutely legal.
Well, I'm sorry. How many people knew the credit default swap? I never know about that.
Once again,
how much people who knew CDOs? There's so few people. Go back in 2006 and ask people, do you know credit default swap? You'll have a lot of people tell you, man, what are you talking about?
Alex, you got to talk or close your window. Once again, Stanley, you never answered the question. Are you going to invest in Widget 2 that has the backing of that other bank that says we're going to make it good no matter what?
But that's not the role of the rating agency. The rating
that's not what I said.
Well, okay.
What
is the role of the rating agency?
Oh,
if it's
God.
Not to make sure that you have proper investment that is good for the people. They didn't do that.
That's not their thing.
That is
good for the people. No,
that
isn't.
That's why they have AAAs and things like that. That is their thing. They don't want you to invest in things that you don't know, so they're making rating agencies to go through your stock and say, this is a good stock, this is bad, this is this. That's why you have AAA, double A.
You're talking about the securities and exchange, right? You're talking about securities and exchange had no reason to think that the CDOs and were going to be bad. Why? Because the government already said, no matter what, we're going to back it up.
Anyways, it wasn't the government. I told you that.
Oh, my God, it was the government.
Okay. So
Stanley, we're done on this.
Until Blue Moon, but
okay,
I'm going to fight by Alex.
I quit.
Yeah,
okay,
I
quit on.
Because you're so much pro-government, Alex? I would not expect that. Alex, I would have said, I would have expected, let me look at this.
Alex is not pro-government.
I respect you, Jeff, also, because I know you're anti-government no matter what.
But Alex, yes, at least reasonable to a certain degree. But Alex, you're telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about? Whoa.
Okay, Stanley, I apologize. You send me the information at my email, alex.beverly@gmail.com.
Can you put it on the chat room? Do you have a chat room? Because I'm going to send all of
them. No, I'm not logged in there.
Okay, what is it, Alex?
.beverly, B-E-V-L-Y, @gmail.com.
All right, we got that out the way. Michigan man, they're about to tear your state apart up there because the legislature up there has said that we're going to make the unions vote to if you want to pay your dues or not. You ain't going to have to pay them if join a union if you go to work. Because that's how it is now. So what's that doing to the state up there? Michigan man that went on break.
I bet you people are just lining up to pay union dues.
They are.
Voluntarily.
Of course they are. Of course they are, because you know it couldn't possibly be that the Republicans are right up there. Now here, when they tried to do it in Ohio, I think they really blew it because they were trying to cut back some things, and they included the police and the fire. And I had said at that time that that was the wrong thing to do. Police and firemen are not like everybody else because you're not risking your life when you work for the sanitary department, but you're risking your life when you work for the police and the fire department, and you should be treated separately than everybody else.
Amen.
And I understood that, although I would say that the inclusion of the police and fire caused it to go down in Ohio. Wisconsin is working out fine, and they withstood their situation. But then they voted crazy for president.
But 24 out of 50 states,
mm-hmm,
are now right to work.
Yeah, this is true.
57, well,
Jeff,
on
what is that thing of right to work, and why? What's the problem with that? I didn't look at it. I saw it this morning.
Okay, well, as it stands up in Michigan, if you go to work at the car plant, you have to join the union.
Well, no ifs, ands, or buts.
No ifs, ands, or buts. You must join the union and pay union dues. Well, and here in Detroit now, the state legislature made a move to make that not be the law of the land anymore. Okay, so that's no longer the law of the land. We're sitting up with the situation that you're going to have to now, how should I say, right now, you don't have to pay you don't have to join no union. You can still work there, but you don't have to be part of the union.
My question is,
mm-hmm,
if unions are so wonderful and so beneficial, why should it have to be mandatory to pay you would want to pay the dues and join on your own, but they're mandatory.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, you know, that, like some of the things, I agree with you guys. I think the unions are another example of a movement, you know, some that started out
good,
you know,
good.
Yes, right, beneficial.
Absolutely.
Then it turned into a business, and now it's a racket. I mean, it's, you know, it's like a monster now, and it needs to be, you know, reined back in. So,
right.
That's how I see unions as well.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and they are definitely not the what they used to be per se, and so you had to do something about that, and right now we're really fighting a bad battle, you know, trying to get that stuff together, but I think that this move in Detroit or Michigan was a good move to make, and we're gonna talk about it on the other side. hopefully we'll have that strange woman back in here that's going to shut you off. Talk to you later.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is...
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, is Alex still up?
Alex.
No, he cut out?
No, I'm still here.
Hey, let me, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If let's say that we could minimize government to just the bare necessities, right? Just the military and whatever you say they intended it for, you know, mm-hmm. the founding fathers. All right. And if you allowed the private sector to do mm-hmm. its thing, which one okay. of the social factors or the social ills that are like income inequality, mm-hmm. What's this about education, poor education,
mm-hmm.
are you suggesting that those things would be different with less government and just free enterprise kind of running the show?
I think you're always going to have a minority of movers and shakers regardless of what the political or government climate is, you know. And so those are the ones that's going to, you know, be those business owners or those enterprising individuals, and that's always going to be the case. Some people are just going to be less motivated than others. So you're always going to have great inequalities in people just because of that, and also because of generational wealth that's passed down between generations, you know, because one person does well and their children, now they got it, you know. They may have a $1 million head start than your kids, you know, things like that. So that I don't think you can fairly eradicate that. So that's always going to be regardless. But what will be different is there's a different paradigm. Like, for instance, 100 years ago, most Americans, before the industrial age kicked in, you know, fully, 100 years ago, majority of Americans were actual business owners.
Okay.
You know, I think it's like over 75%, between 75% and 85% were actually business owners. And, you know, a lot of people were agriculturalists or farmers and traders, merchants, smiths, craftsmen, things like that. And you had a minority of people that were actually employees. But since we've had the unconstitutional development of federal education mandates, which didn't exist back then, now they try to create this one-size-fits-all education, which never works.
Right.
There's no one-size-fits-all for everybody. And so
right.
they create this one-size-fits-all, and they try to mold us, black people, into a one-size-fits-all that's going to also appease white people. You see what I'm saying? And so you should already be able to see where the problem is going to hit from there. So then what happens is what they do is create a nation of employees. Now education, all it does is geared towards creating employees as opposed to enterprising individuals. And so that's what we see. And that's part of the reason why we have this culture of dependence. So I do think that it would be very different in some aspects. In some aspects, you know, it's not going to change. You know, some people are just going to be more motivated than others or be born with, you know, certain advantages that other people want.
But Alex, if I'm listening to what you're saying, you don't think that those people are rich? Let's take out the government, like you said, you know, and no regulation. You can do whatever you want. You don't think that
No, that's not constitutional to say regulation. I don't know why y'all keep doing that.
The minimum, like he said.
I just said strip it down, you know.
Strip it down to the minimum, like he said.
Yeah.
So,
Okay.
The government, the company could do whatever you do. You will not see the inequality and the rich getting more richer and trying everything. It's like I'm hearing you, but you're acting like there's no, the rich are not greedy.
Well,
there's no disparity.
I actually think if you can futurize, look at this in a futures perspective and look at, you know, where the enterprises were and their intentions, I actually think it probably would may be a little bit worse than what it is now, or at best about the same.
Yeah, because
that's my opinion now.
Yeah,
I don't really see a whole lot of difference in any people interaction area where you would say it would be better.
And Alex, you're saying that, oh, some of them are lazy. Some of them are not lazy. A lot of people want to work and get what they want. But let me ask
you've never heard me
question.
Say
Do
that.
Do you think that there's a fairness between the rich and the middle class? I don't see it.
You never heard me call people lazy, Stanley. I just said some people are more motivated than others. I never said anybody's lazy.
Okay, more motivated. Do you think that the middle class who gets less salary are less motivated than the rich?
Yes,
no,
I know that for sure.
What did you say? What did you say? Say it again.
Said yes, and that's
no. What did you say, Alex? What was your question? What was your question, Stanley?
I said, do you think that the people in the middle class are less motivated than the rich?
And he said yes.
You.
He said
yes.
Yes.
No,
and
I
that's
disagree
not true.
With that, Alex. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you why. I grew up. You know, I'm from Youngstown, like Tracy and Jeff. I live in Orlando now. And I'm going to tell you, I'm from the hood, all right? I didn't have any kind of privileged upbringing or anything like that. And so even the people that I associate with now, you know, there's just certain things I can't even talk to them about.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because either they just don't understand, and then if I talk about certain things, you can tell they just shut their brain off. They don't want to think about that.
Okay. Well, you look at it from that perspective, let me say this. Maybe motivation is not the right word, because most of the middle class are probably not those enterprises like yourself. So
right.
Mind state of the middle class is just different. You know, like we said, with an entrepreneur, because he don't get a check every week, every day he operates with a mind state that he could starve.
And he
so
doesn't have a
his mind
fear
state
of
is
money.
Different. So I don't know if motivated was the right word. But
it's
I do agree with you, Alex, from
well,
that standpoint.
You don't have the
they do have a different
money.
Mind state.
Yeah.
But the reason why I say motivated is because when I go back to the education system, like I was saying, that like 100 years ago, the education system was different because there was no one-size-fits-all federal mandate on the population. And so the education was different, so people's expectations were different from their government and from the education. So now people just depend. They're expectant to be, you know, to be given something, essentially.
Right.
And so, yeah, there is a different motivation. People are not as motivated to, you know, like my grandparents, you know, they spent about 15 years very poor, bought a piece of land, lived on it, and at first it was a shack, then he built the house, and then he built the garage, and then they built a small, you know, some land, I mean, you know, irrigated the land for food, to grow food and things like that. You know, but they, because they were enterprising, he was first a carpenter, then he went over to the steel mills and came and was doing work like that. And my grandmother was, you know, she had a catering business, you know, but the thing about it is that they came up in a different era, though.
Right,
you know what
I'm saying? Yeah.
And education was different, but now it's a one size fits all education, and nobody's trying to do that anymore. They want to go to school, and they're expected to be given a good paying job.
Well, they're not, and all this stuff.
That most people do. That's what
they
expect.
I don't think they're expected to do that. It's just that we live in a society that basically taught us that go to school, get a good grade, work for a company, and then you work all your way up. I'm sorry, they're not expected to be given anything, but that's what the parents, our generation of our parents and the generation before, said to our kids to do. And they think that that's the way to do. The thing that you're talking about, I do agree that we put school to have employees instead of having employers or entrepreneurs. But that has nothing to do with being motivation. It has to do with me be teaching them.
This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're back once again. Myself, Jeff, Big Bob in the air chair with me. And we were hanging out talking to you what's on our mind and listening to what's on your mind. We were just talking about the controversial right-to-work legislation covering the public sector employees. It was passed by the Michigan House of Representatives yesterday, bringing the step closer to being signed into law. House Bill passed 58-51 as union opponents of the measure booed inside the Capitol. Estimated 12,000 people rallied outside already to get on the people, you know, doing the right to work state. The House is now scheduled for a vote. If this passes, Michigan will become the 24th right-to-work state, meaning unions cannot require members to pay union dues as a condition of employment. I got to belong to your club if I want to work at any place, even though the employer doesn't necessarily care one way or another. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely not.
Well, it makes sense to these other people, and some of these people in the chat room, they think that we're just crazy.
Wait a minute. This bill is about union busting.
I guess so.
That's what I heard that on the news.
Union busting, that's all it's about. Unions have a stranglehold on our educational system and on our work system. There's no way that every time that we get a raise, everybody in the doggone plant gets a raise. Because you cannot tell me everybody in the plant is being
productive. You mean
productive.
They're not merit-based raises?
No. We haven't had merit-based raises in centuries here.
You mean if I sit around on my butt and slack, I'm going to get the same raise as the hardest worker?
As the hardest worker. The hardest working man in the break room. 818, you are on the air. You talking to me?
I'm talking to you, my brother. Good morning, everybody. This is Shirley Hussar, Urban Game Changer.
Hey, Shirley, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I just love Tracy's show. I love the Tracy family. We sit out here and we have coffee and we put a little gin in it and make it happen.
I wish I had some Starbucks about right now.
Okay, put a little gin in. Some of y'all up in the corner drinking 40s on some of the masses. I said, who are they drinking 40s? I know we went back that far, but, you know, y'all still drinking 40s. Okay.
Not 24s.
Yeah. In New York, the 24s.
Okay, well, I'm from Cali.
Can't get a 40.
You can't get a 40 in New York.
Can't get a 40.
Yeah, no.
The new law.
Anyway, you talk about the unions. The unions have a stranglehold on the urban black Latino communities. And I tell you why, because anytime you have a law that requires to pull out of your check, that you have no choice, that they can take that money and they can put it behind the candidate of the powers to be decision, and you have no choice, something's wrong. And for you to agree to that, something's wrong. Well, it goes back to what you guys were saying right before the commercial break. It really is a mindset. I say Stanley got it right. I think that everybody's kind of got it right, but we have to just tie it all together. Look, when it comes down to the mindset of the urban communities, we'll say black because we're African-American, some of us here. When we think about the black community has been parent and patrolled by the government, by how our official and our legislators in the local communities have gone in there, and what they say to the people is they say, hey, you can get a government check. You can get a nonprofit. You can get a SBA loan. You can get something where a government check will step in, or the unions, okay? That's one mindset. I tell you what we're not talking about, which our brother said earlier. He said, well, you know, he believes that the wealthy are more successful than the middle class or work harder, something like that, he said. And you know why he said that? I probably agree with that, because it goes back to what Stanley said, which is the mindset of the people. You only know better when you do better. We all know that. So if we knew better, we would say, well, let's talk about LLCs and S corporations. Let's talk about acquisition and mergers. Let's talk about people hiring people and venture capitalists. Let's go to those angel investors. These are terms you don't hear in the black community. I was on Huffington Post Live yesterday, and there was a young man who created the super PAC for Howard University for Obama. And after we talked afterwards, we went one-on-one. I said exactly what I said to you just now. And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to write this down. I said, do you learn about hedge funds? Do you know about hedge funds? No, let me write that. He was literally writing it down. He says, wow, I've never had anyone say that to me. But see,
oh, wow.
The field, as far as education, is that whole government subsidized, expanded programs, nonprofit. I got to hear one more brown person tell me nonprofit. I want a nod upside his head. I said, do you know that nonprofits don't work without a for-profit? And do you know what a for-profit is? I mean, there's just all these things going on. We are trying to rebuild the urban communities in Los Angeles nationally as well. And you cannot do it unless you understand business. And you cannot do it if you're looking for the government to subsidize your thought plan on the community.
There's no doubt about it. We need a real agenda for our cities. But the thing is you're dealing with a political structure that's going to keep those conditions in place on purpose.
It's a voting block.
It's a voting block. It's cheap labor force. It's all of these things. And, you know, hey, the people that you've been calling nasty and prejudiced aren't going to lift a hand to help you. Mm-hmm. And the people you've been voting for aren't going to lift a hand to help you because they need you where you're at. They need you controlled. And that's been my only cry when it comes to anything, because I could care less about parties in that sense, especially when my children, my brothers and sisters and cousins and relatives are dying in the streets. Okay? Like I said, I lost a brother out on the streets here to murder. Okay? So I ain't playing it like that. I'm not feeling
okay.
You.
I still say it's parties because of the mindset of what the agenda is of the party. If we get, okay, let's say beyond party names and titles, Republican, Democrat, whatever. What is the definition of those parties? Those ideologies are what's being included into the community. You know, the liberal mindset, the mindset that government needs to be expanded in a larger way, the fact that you need Big Brother to take care of you, you know, it takes a village to feed the people. That whole mindset is a Democratic mindset. If you go to the Republican side, which everybody wants to look like the R is the bad word when it really isn't, we talk about limited government. We're talking about people being able to hire people. Yeah, if your family had a business, you could hire your cousin, your brother, your uncle, whoever, and say, let's get these kids off the street. Let's make sure we take care of our own. You know what I'm saying? And you might grab some other neighborhood kids and bring them in, and you also mentor them, and you bring them along. See, jobs, jobs. That's why, I always encourage African-American people, watch Shark Tank. And if you watch
Shark Tank.
I mean, you see them think so fast, you'd be like, whoa, I never saw that. There was one guy
Can I say something? When I hear black people, you know, talking about, oh, we the Republicans, we're small government and this and that. The concept of doing for self, self-reliance, blacks have always, they have a history of having that. And guess what? They didn't get that from the Republican Party.
Here's the point, Michigan.
This idea of this black community that we're all striving to create, that we've had them, And when we had them, we were not Democrats or Republicans. So self-reliant.
That's not true.
Okay.
That's not true.
History will, bow that out.
And
self-reliance is not a Republican word.
No.
Okay. Doing
but
for self.
Conservative concept.
Entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship. That don't come from Republicans.
I beg to differ with you on that for one reason. I said I beg to differ with you on that for one reason. Not a whole entire reason, but a reason. The Republicans are the only ones talking about that now. Self-reliance, smaller government, self-determination, okay? Self-determination is one of the Knights of Kwanzaa as well.
Jeff.
But when
don't you understand, man, that a white person telling you that's the same, oh, man, we believe in y'all. Y'all should, oh, yeah, y'all, we're going to let y'all free. Y'all going to do it yourself. Jeff, man, what's wrong with y'all, man?
You're not getting that from me. I'm not giving you that. That's not what I'm giving you.
White Republican tell you could do it on your own, man. Just get you need the government out your way.
Wait a minute. That's how I feel, which is why I agree with the Republicans. Not what the Republican has told me. You have to understand something. My people all made their way after they got out of slavery. Okay? They made their freaking way. You ain't got me up here on nothing like that. I ain't smoking that pipe. So when blacks
got into European politics, they got in for one reason only, self-interest.
They got played, though, Doc.
Actually, if you go back and look at the history of blacks going into politics back in the 1800s, they actually was master politicians, and then they started changing the games.
Wait a minute.
And they did not get in there but for one reason. And it was their group self-interest.
Michigan, let me ask you a question. What was the party that gave blacks the first right to vote? What party did that?
See, to me, that's Mickey Mouse talk. That don't make no difference.
It don't matter whether it was Mickey Mouse.
Okay, you answer it. I don't know. The blue party, the purple party. Which one? The purple party.
The Democrats.
The Republican Party was the party that first gave African Americans the right to vote.
Right.
And what's your point?
And also, if you want to think about the foundation of the thought
South
that was implementing as far as the conservative value, the thought that was implemented back in the 1800s, we're going to go back to Frederick Douglass. So you might want to do your homework before you start talking about the white Republicans. I ain't white. I just told you earlier when I got on the phone.
I know you ain't white.
And I don't let white people.
But I'm talking to you as a black person. Right.
And I'm talking to you as a sister.
Okay. So I'm
going to tell you, as far as the mindset of the conservative values implemented in the black community, I agree with you. But it wasn't the white man that put us there. It was our own people who identified that we need to be self-reliant on our own. You don't hear that talked about from the Democratic Party.
It wasn't the white man that put us where?
You look at the Republicans as the white man. And what's the Democrat? Aren't they the white man?
They're white too.
Their values don't support what you're talking about or what we're talking about today.
South Carolina, Democrats support them.
I'm not confused about that. They're both white before they're Democrat or Republican. I don't have that confusion.
That one we can agree on, but the thing is most of the people that vote Democrat that are black don't believe that, not at all.
Right.
And that's the point. And that's what we're dealing with, and that's why I'm sitting up here with a judgeship here that should be filled by another African American candidate, and the Democrat Party is fighting it tooth and nail.
But Jeff, when I'm hearing about Republicans, there's one thing you don't add. Also, Republicans are responsible for making sure that the rich get richer. That's another thing.
Hold on, they're not Democrats.
Not
a millionaire now.
Google just avoided half their tax base by sending it overseas to Bermuda. 30,000 jobs the job czar in the White House right now just sent overseas to work. And but no. It's the Republicans that are making the rich
richer.
That's
crazy. That's not
yeah.
true. That's not true.
What's not true?
About what Stanley said.
That's
what Stanley said.
Yeah.
What Stanley said. Not
all rich Democrats.
Yeah.
No rich Democrats
rich.
In
that's right.
America.
That's right.
You're
that's right.
Of course.
So yep. And that's why Chelsea works for a broke hedge fund, right? Because if you understand what hedge funds are, that's a broke hedge fund. Look, we need to come together and stop thinking that Democrats are the evil, are the good guy, and the Republicans are the evil guy. You know,
right.
I think there's evil on both sides, but I think the challenge in the black community, let's go back to what Sterling said earlier, it's that mindset. Well, that's what we were right at the heart of the problem when the conversation started right before the break, that the mindset of the community of how they understand to dissect wealth is different than others. That to go black and white and Republican evil and bullcrap. We're better than that.
The thing is,
go ahead, Sam.
Very quick.
Let me ask you this question.
They're both competitors. That's what you need to see.
Listen, I'm going
to
put it. I'm going
to put
it.
They're not evil. They're competitors.
That's a good point.
Competitors. Hey, I'm going to put it this way. All right. At the end of the day, you got the Democrat on one side, they're rich. You got the Republicans on the other side, they're rich. You got the black man in the middle, where is he?
Boy,
he's
got
too.
His hand out.
No,
okay?
No, he's rich too. Blacks are more wealthier now than when you were born.
What I'm saying is this. But
we still don't have any political control, That's the deal.
Because we don't
and
have a political control mindset.
And that's because of the mindset.
It's not because of the mind state.
That's the white guy in the room. Yes.
That's because of the mindset.
No, it's not. No,
all
it's
you
not.
Have
that's
left
where you go
your,
wrong at.
I totally agree with that.
That's where we disagree.
Because of the mindset, I think it's about because of the school that's not teaching the truth about how to be an entrepreneur and own a business.
Yeah.
We're all teaching people how to become employees.
The school's not teaching people how to teach entrepreneurship, Stanley. You know that. Stanley, you know the school they're going to never teach that. My parents taught me, and the school didn't teach that. And the family and the people. It starts within our own people pulling us off to the side, telling us.
Listen. When you have a functioning culture, society has a functioning culture, this is what it means. It means that whatever the objectives is of the culture, whether they be to hold somebody out or to put somebody in, whether they be to amass resources to the left or amass them to the right, if you have a fully functioning culture, it can do all of those things when it needs to. This idea that blacks are where they are because of their mind state is ludicrous.
Okay.
This is a socially engineered society. It always has been, and it will be in 50 years.
South Carolina, hold on, Shirley, hold on.
Let me get this straight, man, because every time we get on this phone, I hear the same thing. If you see it as evil, it's got to be something that the white man created. If you see it as good, it's got to be an attribute of the black man. Let's be realistic about that thing, man. That's something you always allude to that.
I've never said something that the white man created was bad.
There's always that undertone, man.
It ain't an undertone, it's a historical fact. This is a socially engineered society. That's not saying the white man did something bad.
It's a white man socially engineered society.
Absolutely.
I agree with that. Understand something now. With that being said, okay, I'm going to say that I agree with that to a certain degree. Once again, and this is why. You have a society that has struggled. One is the society of Leave It to Beaver. And one is the Beavis and Butthead. Okay, now, we are now presently living in Beavis and Butthead. Because Beavis and Butthead, yeah. Hey, Beav. Okay, the thing is this. That's how the people of the United States are voting. They're not looking at Ward Cleaver and saying, Ward is out there with a new job and climbing the corporate ladder. They're out there. Yeah, yeah, they can give us more. I'm going to vote for them because I can get something else from the government. I can get a crazy check. That's what they're doing. And the thing is you're destroying your country, and you got a president that's loving it.
Right.
Because of who and what he is.
Because you'll keep voting for him.
You'll keep voting for him and keeping him in power, and you will keep the political structure the same if you don't start voting for yourself. Now, when you sit here and you think for 1 minute,
I'm getting like you.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you think? Yeah, yeah. Your name Jeff Green?
I'm trying to be Jeff. I got here late. You know, that's how you roll.
No, you better come over here, because I got a guy that fell through a ceiling.
Hey, Jeff. Let me say this. When the leadership of our quote unquote Black America, after Martin Luther King got killed, okay, that leadership gap that it left a big void, and that void was filled by individuals who had an ideology that was totally opposite of capitalism. They had a Marxist ideology, and that's what they've been driving us towards. That's how the Great Society was such a success, and why it was such a success in the Black community, because all those leaders said we're going to move towards a socialist ideology. And it's become more and more apparent to us. I've said this numerous times. If you want to see what socialism looks like in the Black community, I mean, in America, all you have to do is look at the Black community, and that's exactly what you're going to get if you
Absolutely.
Keep heading on the track that we are. We are the control group for socialism in America. That's
Absolutely.
All you got to do is look at us.
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
You said Black leadership.
Yeah. That whole.
Can I ask
that
you a
whole
question?
Group that came out? Yeah. Uh-huh.
What makes a leader?
Charlton.
I said what makes a leader? That's what it looks like.
Preacher. Preacher.
The greatest attribute a leader can have and will have and does have is his willingness to serve those he is leading.
So can I ask you that? Who's serving the Black community?
Charlton.
Jesse Jackson.
He's serving himself.
No. I'm seriously. I'm real serious. Who's really serving the Black community? Who's really serving the impoverished? And who's actually willing to lay down their life for any of them?
Only the church.
What church?
The churches that are actually working in the communities with no budgets and things like that, trying to
are
help
they
the
really
people.
Are they serving?
No.
Whoa. I'm not telling you that all your little churches are doing
church.
It.
I'm not going to say the church. I'm going to say I won't say the organization.
No.
There may be some organisms that are trying to function.
Absolutely.
But we won't fund them.
That's it. They're working on no budgets. Captain Foresters that work for the thing, they're the ones serving and really not getting any help.
So let me ask this,
mm-hmm.
and I know you're going to go to break in a minute.
Yes.
But tell me, when you look at this, mm-hmm. why are we not crying foul?
We ran over this earlier. We have been brainwashed to think that one side is good and one side is bad.
But the question is, the people... Why are they not revolting?
Because we've been brainwashed to think.
Revolting for what, Tracy?
Revolting because of the conditions in which they live in the conditions in which they are being maneuvered.
They got a cell phone. They got some food.
It's a matter of their pocket versus their principles. And their pockets have won out for a little bit of change. Their principles go by the wayside. They turn their head. They ignore. They see what's going on in the community and just overlook it. As long as they get their check on the first
so
third
it's
or fifth
on the
of the month,
plantation.
I can't
make
care.
It on my own. It's
you
bliss
can't
on
make
the
it
plantation.
On your own. You can type of kind of dark, man.
So how
is bliss on the plantation?
Good.
How are we going? I mean, seriously, we've got 30 minutes to fix it. Go take a break.
Good luck.
I'm trying to take a break. We're almost at noon.
Oh.
Yeah, we're almost at noon. Yeah.
I'm just having some issues because I'm looking at some things. I'm reading some things, and I'm concerned that you know, you said we have leadership, and I see we have people that are opportunists.
Yeah, you don't have leaders, that's right.
But I don't see anybody leading anything. I don't see anybody serving us. I'm watching people get awards that don't deserve them.
For
I'm seeing people getting applauded for herding cattle, but I don't see anybody doing anything worthwhile.
Yeah.
They herded cattle on election day?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I'm telling someone, I mean, anytime you look at the election and the results of it, and you're at 14% unemployment, yet you overwhelmingly support someone, and they tell you that there's a voter suppression, you walk into it and believe it, but you don't fill out an absentee ballot request, and all it will do is get mailed to your home.
You go to the
party.
You
walk it in. Your time is not worth 5 hours to go vote when you could have mailed it in.
Go to the party.
Go to the partyism?
Yeah,
no,
so
no,
back
no.
To the y'all partyism.
No, I'm not talking about
y'all
party.
Ain't racist. Y'all partyism.
What's partyism?
Well,
that's a new term. That's a new term, Tracy, I came up with for y'all. Y'all not racist. Y'all partyist.
What's that?
What's wrong with, you know, why?
I mean, seriously,
why,
I mean, what,
why are you
I mean,
so
when
objective
you partying,
to having
what
a high ideology?
I'm a party person based upon a fundamental value, but I tell them they're crazy too. I don't change my conversation when I come off the air as well as I'm on air. I tell them they're cotton picking mine too.
See, that makes
personal.
You an Uncle Tom.
Hey.
No, that ain't Uncle Tom. I tell them they're crazy.
Aunt Thomasina.
I tell Republicans they're crazy.
I'm gonna get South Carolina a piece of racist kryptonite so he can wear when I'm on the radio, because every time I say race, it's just like it boils his skin. I'm going to buy him a piece of racist kryptonite.
This is about socioeconomic classism.
The reason is because
go ahead.
I mean, that speaking.
Oh, you're breaking up bad, man.
Hold on a second. I'll take care of
it. You got the cheap Bluetooth on.
Okay,
there
you go.
The
Bluetooth.
Obama phone.
Yeah,
that's it.
Well, let me put it to you this way. The same arguments and the same comments that you're making are the same arguments and the same comments that were made by those white rednecks or those white folks that you say that try to oppress us.
No,
not so.
Not so.
It's the same thing. It's the same exact comment.
You can go trace every word I've ever said on this station. I've never said anything like a white redneck.
I haven't said anything derogatory about white folks. You have an Aryan ideology.
Yeah, absolutely
Aryan
not
tone.
True.
No.
It's the same thing. It's only black.
Absolutely
man.
Not true.
You say
I
the
assess,
same thing that the Aryans say.
Absolutely not true.
It is the same thing.
Name one thing I've said that's aligned to the Aryans. One. Just one.
You make comments and say that we are superior. And we are the best.
I never. Not once. Never. I've never said that on this show that black people are superior. Not one time.
Give me another one.
But. I'm listening to what you're saying. You're acting like if you're black, you have the same opportunity as a white dude, and you don't.
You
that's
see?
One thing we all know.
It doesn't make any difference to me.
See, this is the issue. I told someone earlier today, and I'm gonna come up with my own slogan. Tend to your own business and leave white business alone. If you do
exactly.
You and do your thing, you ain't got to worry about what they do. Because
you're
going to make it
there.
No matter what. Let white folks do what white folks do, but we need to tend our own business and handle just your own house.
Well, when are you going to have a show about that?
Tracy,
saying it's
my fault. Tracy, I agree with you, but you cannot say that if you're a black dude, you'll have the same opportunity as a white dude.
I have the same opportunity.
You won't.
Listen, hold on, Stanley. I have the same opportunity. Even I may have to work harder. I may have to work smarter. I may
have
to do more, but I've got the same opportunity.
You don't have the same opportunity.
Hey, Tracy, when are you going to start doing shows about that?
Oh, baby, we're going to start that.
About then into our own
business. Tend to your business.
See, okay. we got pulled away from some things because of the politics of the elections. And when we came on this station, we've been here just a little over a year. But we dealt with this all the time.
Tend to your business.
And the thing is we tried to garner people to get up
a
in
dollar a month.
Yeah. To put things together and one thing else, what to support the talk. Number two, to sit up and get together and put together things where people could.
Jeff, how much money have I spent that I don't have?
Oh my God.
How much money have I spent that I don't have?
Tens of thousands of dollars.
That
over
I don't
the last
have.
Many years.
Oh, you black,
yeah.
Tracy. You black.
Tens of thousands of dollars. Lots of.
How many seminars have I had? How many workshops have I had?
Oh my God.
How many times have I had? Mixers that I've had. How many times have I tried to get folks to come together and pool resources?
Learn about your party platform, your systems. We had those.
How many we have? Down in
the auditorium downtown, all those things. Now, there's all kind of things that you try to avail, but the thing is
we don't show up.
No, and you can lead. You can lead a liberal to water.
They don't want
to
listen.
They don't want to show up.
You can lead a liberal to water, but you can't make him
drink.
You can't make him think. And that's the problem. And
why is it liberal you're saying that?
Because that's what's destroying black people.
Stanley, listen, when you say liberal, you have to understand we're not talking about the we're talking about a mindset of liberality instead of a mindset of freedom. When you talk about progressives, liberal progressives, you're talking about a mindset of a culture of control of youth. It is not necessarily, you know, they say Democrat Party because the Democrats are very liberal. And the liberals have and the progressives have taken over the Democrat Party. You got to understand that.
Because liberals
but we're not saying but we're not saying that all Republicans have the answers either.
No, that's not what we're saying. But the thing is white liberalism that comes into the black community and tells them, well, you know, you need the government to help you because, you know, you can't do it by yourself. We're going to bring these gardens in your neighborhood and we're going to do this. But not one single enterprise zone where they come in and help you.
Can I ask y'all a question?
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Tracy.
You're
I need to ask y'all a question.
Quickly in a minute because news is coming. But
go ahead, Alex.
Well, because you mentioned briefly about us handling our business. I'm just, what does that really mean? Because you have to, when you're competitors, you always have to look out for what the other person's doing to make sure they don't get the upper hand on you. So you in some respects, you do keep an eye on what other people are doing. You know?
Alex, here's the bottom line, because I'm getting ready to leave. We have to be about getting into the game. We're not even in the game.
Actually, if you take the break, when I come back, I'll answer the question.
Do
because,
that. Because we're going now.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A Youngstown man was killed in a...
In South Carolina. South Carolina. South Carolina, hang up.
I'm still
here. No, I'm here.
Okay, now, I want you to give me an example of me being a black Aryan, I guess that's what you call me. Something that I said that makes me a black Aryan. The first one was a dud because I never said that we were superior. So come on with another one. Try it again.
Well,
I'm going to give you three strikes. Three strikes.
Here's the thing. When you talk about us and us losing or establishing certain things and having them taken away, that's the same thing that the Aryans say.
Be specific.
Be specific, South Carolina. What do you mean, having things and taking them away? Be specific.
When you talk about, well, we're gonna do this, and or they have done this to us, and you don't acknowledge it, or you use a terminology like, well, it's a situation where they're
struggling.
Being embraced towards us.
You struggling?
I'm not struggling.
Yeah, you struggling.
But South Carolina, is it not true as a black man that we have less opportunity compared to a white dude?
Stanley, here's the situation. You're talking to the wrong.
Do we have the same opportunity? No, because I'm telling you, I have my own business on website. Family. That's why colleagues have color, but trust me not, as a black
you man. You asked me a question. I gave you an answer, and you're telling me that I'm lying.
No,
I said, ask me.
Okay. You're cutting. South Carolina, you're cutting. Go ahead. You're cutting.
Hello?
You asked me if I had, if I have been denied an opportunity because of the color of my skin. I said no.
Okay.
And that's the truth.
Okay. But do you understand that a lot of black people will come back with the same...
send that memo to him.
He didn't get the Batman memo.
Yeah,
Batman.
He didn't get that memo.
I'm happy that you didn't go through that. I'm very happy that you didn't go through that. But don't think that because you didn't go through that that you think that other black people didn't.
I've never said that. You asked me a specific question and I told you.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, hell man, I've been discriminated more from black folks than I've ever been discriminated from white folks.
Well, see, this is the problem.
Oh boy, here
I'm
we go.
I'm not black. I'm Indian. I'm trying to get a check.
Oh, you
I'm
Indian?
Not black. I'm trying to
you
get
got
a
Indian
check.
In your family?
So I'm okay with the Indian.
You
pop Cherokee? None of you brown people, none of you Negroes, I'm going to get that check. I'm going to get that check.
Hey, man.
Y'all couldn't, well, you couldn't get that 40 acres and a mule, which is now 1 acre and a Lexus, a Bentley. So I'm going to go on the other side and get that casino check.
I'm trying to get the casino check.
If I can get the casino check, I forget all you Negroes. I'm working with the reservation.
Yeah.
For the reservation movement. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, my thing is, I think as blacks, we tend to not respect our elders and scholars and philosophers, and particularly those who traveled around the world, dabbled into, you know, all of these areas where we said we need to, you know, be unified on, and we lean toward these universal philosophies and things of that nature, and we say we believe in prophets, we say we believe in all this stuff, but when you have one that comes right to you, you poo-poo him away.
Here's the thing you run into when you say that, okay? You're saying that anybody that doesn't agree with you or does not hold the same ideology as you are or you do or the people that you believe is wrong. I don't tell you that.
Right.
I just tell you that's your opinion. But you will take the position of saying that I am not enlightened because you have found this new knowledge. And if I don't agree with your new knowledge, I'm still on the plantation.
Okay, well, first of all, South Carolina, I never said it was my knowledge. So
Did I say it was your knowledge?
I said, if I don't agree with the
people that you believe or the ideology that you have.
I said we tend not to follow the prophet.
Don't say we. Don't say we. Some of us.
Huh?
Some of us. Because when you say we, you're including everyone.
Well, we're talking about us as a group. So if you want to say that's 10,
we as a group,
50,
we
or 1,000.
We don't follow nobody.
Huh?
We as a group don't tend to follow nobody except Obama, and the only reason he's doing it is because he's a damn Pied Piper.
Well, when y'all talk about the black community in South Carolina, y'all say we. Y'all talking about the majority of the black community, which is liberal. So now, if I say
the majority of the black community is falling behind the Pied Piper.
Okay, so when I say we, you're saying I shouldn't say it now? Because I'm talking about the same group that you're talking about.
You're saying that
I'm just including myself with them.
Okay, well, fine. Go that route. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, what I'm saying is, if you listen to our philosophies as it relates to economics, schooling, and things of this nature, hardly any of it lines up with African-centered scholars.
We don't live in Africa, man.
Now you see what his answer was.
Okay, can I say something?
Hold on. Somebody wanted to say something. They said nothing. Hold up, guys. I'm back. How you doing?
Very quiet. But let me just help you with African people. The most wealthiest African-American people are Africans. They are not Oprah Winfrey anymore. The international billionaire list is, his name is, write this down, A-L-K-O, last name, I can't say these names, D-A-N-D-O-T-E. He is worth $3.3 billion. He's the richest black person in the world.
Over in Nigeria.
Over in Nigeria.
Yeah, the brother in Nigeria.
And now you, Nigeria, Oprah is the richest. You might think that Oprah needs to stop. You might think that Oprah Winfrey is the richest woman. Listen,
not Jerry, don't count.
Oprah Winfrey is not the richest woman in the world. The richest woman in the world is a woman who does for oil, and she is in her 60s. She is worth $3.3 billion. And her name, and I'll just post it because I can never say it, is Oil Baroness. I'll just spell it. F-O-L-O-R-U-N-S-H-O, and the last name is A-L-A-K-J-A, from Nigeria. Now, when we talk about African-Americans, there are several people like Oprah Winfrey and Jay-Z, and I posted all up there. And I want you to realize, all these people are entrepreneurs. They're not working for the government. They're not looking for a Democratic mindset to move them forward. They talk Democrat, but they use the ideologies of the Republican Party. And I'm going to go back to Michigan. I don't think he's there anymore. But Michigan cop talking about, and Thaling's trying to help him out. Look, it's about the education of the mindset. Nobody like
no.
Everybody got away from that.
No, I'm still here.
It's the education of the mindset. So if you want to talk about wealth and growing wealth and building wealth, wealth comes from knowledge. And if you don't know better, you won't do better. These people knew better. She took a hole in the ground and won. She hit the biggest lottery ever. $3.2 billion, and she's a baroness, an oil baroness in Nigeria. Nigeria is coming up. We used to Nigerians banging us in the streets of L.A. I'm like, oh, these brothers might have some money. I might have a cousin or somebody. I'm like, you should be a little nicer or something.
Yeah.
I mean,
Nigeria ain't going nowhere.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on, Michigan, because I want to throw this in, because Alex asked a question. You guys know I'm going to forget in a minute. Alex, when I told us to tend to our own business, it's not about knowing your competitor.
Oh,
God. But it's about comparing what your competitor is doing to what you do. See, you can be so absorbed with your competitor where your competitor will consume you and cause you to fail. What we have done and what we are doing is we're so concerned about what other people are doing that all we do is read their paper, and we're not handling our own business.
That's
See,
true.
And we need to start selling our own wares in our own community. We
That's
need
right.
to start demanding some things that we're not getting. See, I don't understand how I can go to a place that has a population of 12,000 and they can have a Arby's, a Taco Bell, a McDonald's, a couple gas stations, two grocery stores, a Rite Aid, a Walgreens, a couple dentists, a post office. They can have a whole bunch of banks. They got four or five banks all in their own vicinity of a population of 12,000. And you can be in a city like Youngstown, Ohio, have 70,000 people and not have half of what I just said within the vicinity of your neighborhood. See, I don't understand that. I don't understand how you can go to Liberty Township and have a Walmart, but you can't have your own Kmart in the city. I don't understand that. I don't understand why economic development is not being a part of your community and why you are
Come
not teaching
now.
Work ethic and education.
Come on.
I don't understand why we do not have a commonality thread where we are competing with one another on debate teams.
Well,
but we have more basketball teams, football teams,
now,
and we're not doing this. I don't understand that. I do not. I can't comprehend it. So right now, if I will quit tending to their business on how much they make an hour, how much money they make, and start dealing with my own business
Hallelujah.
On how much money I make, where I'm going, what I'm doing, I don't care what the other people do. I got to
Hallelujah.
Handle Tracy and friends.
I'm shouting. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Tracy. Now, I'm going to tell that woman to shout. I'm going to sell her some handkerchiefs and some water.
Hold on. I got somebody talking behind it. I don't know whose voice it is. Who's that?
This is South Carolina. I have said this and said this. It's the same thing. We need to tend to what we need to be doing for ourselves. And as soon as we do that and do that very well, we'll see success.
And I want to also say this. I'm tired of getting somewhere and saying, well, the white man did it this way all these years. I don't care what the white man did all those years. When you get into where you go and just do the right thing.
Amen.
I don't care. I look at President Obama. Well, you know, the white man before President Obama did the same thing he did. I don't care what the white man did before you got there. You need to go in there and set a precedent just on your own and just do the right thing. Our problem is we get somewhere and we become that which we hate. And we talk about, well, the white man did it this way. Who cares what the white man did? Just do it right. And if you do it right, we don't have to worry about getting it done again.
Mm.
Well, when I say you're in your own business, that's what I'm saying.
Well, you won't get no offering from me today, Tracy. So
why not?
Cause
I like offering.
I've heard that sermon somewhere before.
So. Might have heard it, but the problem is we ain't acting on it. And right now, we need to, as they call, man up, woman up, get up, do something. Because what we're doing is, as they are lulling us to sleep, and they get ready to send us over a proverbial cliff, and we are not even gonna know that we're gonna fall until after we are going on our way down.
Come on now, please.
That's just real talk.
Hey, that's Tracy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, the cliff would be all right. There's a trampoline at the bottom of it.
Cliff,
okay,
what? Oh, solution. Shut up.
A trampoline with some holes in it. Somebody cut the rope off to the side. That's what they got your mind thinking.
Tracy, ain't no trampoline. Ain't no bounce back.
Hey, Tracy.
No, it's downhill.
Yeah, can I address what you just said? You know,
yeah.
I just want to say real quickly that I agree with everything that you said, you know, but for the most part. But I think that what we fail at is the best way to lead is by example, you know. And it's like Dr. Carter. Yes, it is.
Because my example is as soon as I get my example, I get my check and I get going and I move to the suburbs. I go become somebody else's example.
Hey Tracy, you need to talk about the example that you just gave.
Go ahead, Alex.
But the thing about it is that.
You said that.
Yeah, you're talking about people who you know make some money. As soon as they get some money, they're gone. I'm talking about the good example is actually creating that organization or business,
that bank,
whatever,
yeah,
in our community.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
so when you cool. do that, it's only that when people see that they see something that works, and that's what's going to attract people. But the other
Alex,
thing that we have,
is, but this
we
is
have
the
to,
issue. But see, I don't like you anymore. See, you have to understand. We do it. We set up an example. But see, when you come to work for me, I'm not going to work for you like I work for other people. Because you know you my cousin, and I ain't got to come to work on time. I'm not good enough for you. I can never be great enough
he
for you.
He's just talking in general, Tracy.
No, you know what I'm saying. Come on now. No. Because you have to understand, right now, our problem is we need to be honest about this. When I show up, the black businesses that we have that have tried to stick and stay, we screw them.
Okay, and I'm gonna tell you what. There is the Orlando School of Cultural Dance here in Orlando. They've been in business for 24 years, owned by a black lady. They teach traditional African drum and dance, and I drum there sometimes as well. They've been in business for almost 24 years. And so what? That's going to happen. But that's part
right.
of the example because right. some of the people that she employs are white. Right. And because she couldn't find a good black person to fill that position. But then the people who see it, you just got to keep moving
right.
what you
but
got.
Listen, Alex,
right.
Alex,
right.
what I'm saying is
right.
you're right.
You
you're right. And I'm not looking for an all black nothing. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is when
right.
we get there, the people that we have the most difficulty with is the people who I should be, who should be supporting what I do.
And so what? I mean, you're going to lose
no.
some people. No, you're not talking about losing some people.
Some people are
not going to come around on your time. They're going to come around on their, you know, everybody
or they may
doesn't
not come
get
around.
It at the same time.
Or they may
you
not
know?
Ever
they may
come
not,
around.
Or they may not ever come around. And that's not necessarily
right.
for you to worry about.
But it is. It
no,
is. Because,
they,
listen,
never,
because when they say
they
crabs come. In a basket, that crab is real.
But Tracy,
and I don't like to see you get ahead, Alex. And so my job becomes to do whatever it takes to pull you down.
Hey, Tracy,
the
crazy thing about this is when that happens, there's only one individual, usually one set of people that get blamed for it. They don't blame themselves. They don't blame their neighbor. They blame the white man for it, and that's crazy.
Tracy, is my mic open?
No, I'm
yes.
to knock my hand.
Okay, it may be hopeless, Tracy. What do you think about that avenue?
There is no such thing as hopeless. But you have to be honest about your diagnosis before you actually go into surgery and get it cut out. Because you won't know what to cut out.
Given the parameters that you've given, it could be hopeless.
There is no such thing as hopeless, but you have to be honest in your diagnosis. And you have to call a spade. And what we've been doing is we've been calling sugar salt and salt sugar. And you need to know the difference between the two.
Well, why would I analyze the black community? You tell me we don't need to analyze it. When I say analyze the black community in context to the larger community, you don't want to do that. I mean, you're schizophrenic.
What are you saying?
I'm saying you're schizophrenic. You'll say one thing today and then just the opposite tomorrow.
Is it what I just said true? Answer the question.
But tomorrow you won't be saying that, Tracy. You'll be saying don't forget about the analysis.
No, you have to. But you already know what it is. I just told you the reality of what you already know.
Why did you just analyze it again? Since we already know it.
I didn't analyze it.
Well, you just
Oh, God. Alex asked the question. I answered his question when I told us to
send
our own business.
What would happen?
I didn't analyze it.
The only answer, Tracy, is personal empowerment, and because there's not going to be any community development.
Bingo.
Maybe if you teach the young people to do it, but the older people are not going to do it.
That's done.
Why?
Because they're fucking crazy. I'm sorry, they're effing crazy.
These solutions, that's what I'm saying.
They're crazy. They are.
Who's crazy?
He's talking about the older generation. They're tired. They've done it. It's already been done, what we're saying about these functional black communities. They've already done it. It was destroyed. They're tired. It is time for the young people to try something else.
So what, are we just supposed to let them die?
Tracy, newsflash, people die every day.
But there's too many people that are going to die with this epidemic.
And it's going to be even more with this short-term narrow approach that we are taking. Even more going to die. This is a long-term thing.
We don't have long.
Now that's
we don't have that luxury anymore.
Who is
to
we
wait
don't
for
have
long?
Long? You talking about the African Americans? See, that's what I'm saying. We talking about long. Who
I'm
don't have
about,
long?
I'm talking about African Americans don't have long.
Well,
you can't have a diminishing population the way we do, and be as undereducated as we are.
Who said the African American race, the African American group, has to survive in order for the African race to survive? Who said that?
But I'm not asking for the. I want the African American race to survive.
No, it's not a race. The
what
African
is
American
it?
Is not a race.
What is it?
It's a subgroup.
Whatever it is, I don't want to see it die. Do you?
Okay.
I gotta go. I'm at the end of the day, but that's just not what I want. I don't want to see a death of it.
I don't think
now, if you want to be like the Native American, that's up to y'all.
Well,
I don't want to be that way. I just don't want to see it. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. I hope you're having a good day today. God bless you, Bob. Thank you for coming in and hanging out
God
with
bless
us.
You as well.
Appreciate it. We'll see you guys.
Everybody have a Merry Christmas.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow, Sticks and I, we're going to doing some stuff tomorrow. We're going to talk about survival. It should be very, very interesting. We'll see you then. God bless.
You've heard it all before. Gold and silver prices are at record levels, and you've heard all the promises from the out-of-town companies saying they'll pay the highest prices. But can you really be sure?
Everybody says the same thing. It's spinning in everyone's head, but where do you go? You go to First Choice Coin in Boardman. It's guaranteed.
Meet Tom, owner of First Choice Coin and Jewelry in Boardman, and he'll make sure you get the highest price for your unwanted gold or silver.
We pay the highest prices guaranteed. Check around, get your prices, and we guarantee we'll be the highest prices paid for your gold and silver.
And what makes First Choice different?
We're locally owned. We have many return customers. We have a lot of people that check prices, and they end up at our store. And we also offer jewelry repair, jewelry appraisals. We have a GIA graduate gemologist on staff.
First Choice Coin and Jewelry, 7807 Market Street in Boardman, next to Boardman Nissan. Call 330-629-9990. See store for gold guarantee details.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com.
Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Susan Stone.
9 months ago, the NFL disclosed...